All righty, Joel Radio's back with you. How you doing? 2019. I don't think it's the first show. I've done a show in 2019, haven't I? I think I have. Sometimes I lose track. But I don't know. But it's going to be a good one today. I have a guest. I've been waiting a long time to have you as a guest. A long, long time. One of the dream guests on the show. You know that, right? Because you are so funny. I'm such a fan. And we might even get Corey. That's another thing. The time, you know, the year changes and Corey stays the same. Now, I think we did a, did we do a show? I'm going to look that up first thing before I introduce you to everybody at home. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, see, now there it is. Look at this. It's good, though, because if you were keeping track, I'm going to call that 1 minute in about 5 seconds is all he missed by today. So it's improving.
There you go.
Well, what I was trying to do first was to see if I had actually done a show for this year when Bill Hildebrand was here. I think we did, right? It's the 20th. We must have done a show. Yeah, January 4th. That was the January 3rd we recorded.
Good to see you.
Yes. Corey is here. But first, let me bring up my guest because, you know, I, as Corey gets situated, and Corey's excited. I mean, we've got, boy, you guys have no idea of the fun we're going to have today.
Oh.
If, wow. Yeah. But this is, I mean, I'm going to call him a modern Detroit comedy legend, is what I'm calling you.
Well,
please welcome to the Joel Radio Podcast, a guy that Corey is late to the party on, but now is a big fan of.
Yes.
Please welcome Seiko, everybody. Seiko! Say hi to everybody, Seiko.
Thank you.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa, Seiko. Hi, sumimasen. Ohayou gozaimasu. I do not know any more Japanese, despite taking it in college. Seiko's from Japan.
Dozo yoroshiku. Hajimemashite.
And Seiko lives in America and has this great American life now. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Have you lived here for 10 years now in the United States?
Oh, no. Almost 20 years now.
Almost 20 years?
Yeah.
I thought when we were doing your comedy bit in my class, you were lived here 9 years. That was only a couple years ago.
Well, yeah. When did you... Yeah.
This American math is throwing Seiko, but suffice it to say...
Officially, he's only been...
Oh, is that one of those? Ooh.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe Trump will find you and throw you out. We don't want that to happen.
Trump is after me.
Yeah, we don't want them coming after you. But Seiko... I met Seiko doing comedy class. Seiko did my class and came up with some... we came up with some real funny stuff for Seiko, and he had some really killer shows. I remember... Mike Green, one of the veteran comedians here in Detroit, really a big fan of yours. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to go do Mike's Club over there in Waterford. Make sure you get on there.
Yeah, I have been there.
Yeah, you tell him. You said, look, give me 5 minutes. I don't need any money. You got a good job. You don't need any money from there.
Sure.
Do 5 minutes.
Could you plug that in for me?
Yeah, there's right below you there, Seiko. There's a strip.
Oh, okay.
But you go do some comedy over there. So Seiko is a guy who does comedy and... he's always up to something. He just got back. He visited his family in Japan over the holidays.
Yep.
And one thing that I know that Corey likes about you,
domo.
As yes. I was a big fan of his comedy, I think Corey found you because of your Japanese restaurant reviews. That's what made you really, that Corey became a big fan.
We had met before Christmas party.
Yes.
And I'd seen you at the clubs a couple of times.
Right.
So I'm familiar with the work, but you've really exploded.
Yes.
As a social media influencer.
Yes. Seiko writes he writes the 2,000 words on these ramen places.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. Yes, and now, listen, I'll be honest with you. I'll go to a ramen place. I'll go to a sushi place. I don't really care. I don't know the difference. To me, it's fine. You know, even the best one, I'm not going to like all that much. But Seiko, you review these Japanese restaurants in the States as if comparing them to the Japanese places and how authentic they are, down to the background music, to the furniture, to the things in these restaurants. It's unbelievable. Tell us why you do that. What is your rationale there?
Well, because every single American friend asks me the exact same question.
Yeah.
Seiko, which one is the best Japanese restaurant? Well... to me, even though you guys say Japanese food, Yeah. It means sushi, ramen, tonkatsu, you know, means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And also, you know, every Japanese restaurant has characters. So, you know, some restaurants have a really good sushi, but not so good, so noodles.
Okay.
So once I start explaining, you know, it has no end. I had to really explain detail. But, you know, eventually American friends get tired of listening to my accent. So that's why I started writing the reviews.
So you started
Facebook.
Right?
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Because, you know.
No need to have these conversations. We'll just write
how
these up.
Dare.
Oh.
How dare these gaijin?
First of all, how dare they get annoyed with his accent?
I know.
Well, believe me, you lose that accent.
I get tired of my own accent.
No. First of all, if you lose that accent, forget about a comedy career or a career on this show. Because, yeah, as long as you have that accent, you're always always money.
My name is Bruce. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah, what was that guy's name?
Tony Liu.
Tony.
Johnny. Oh, I'll look him up.
Yeah, okay.
When my computer boots.
What happened to him, though?
Well, he was a regular on the Carson show in the late 70s, early 80s. And he had the thickest accent.
Where's he from?
I think he was Chinese, but his whole shtick was he was a, you know, Asian comedian.
Right.
And he laid it on real thick, and Johnny Carson loved him.
Yeah.
Now, granted, this was 35 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, use what you have. This is what I always say, and we are an international warehouse for comedy talent.
Oh, sure,
Here in the history of this program, we had a Ghanaian comedian.
I don't know if he ever did the show.
Yeah, he did.
Yao came on the show.
Yeah, we had Yao.
We had a guy named Yao from Ghana.
We had the incredibly unfunny German Niels.
German's not known for their humor.
What country Ted Moss is from, but
Ted Moss is from the Sticks of Michigan. But
Is that incorporated?
He's American.
From a golf course outside outside Detroit. But
so we're continuing to be an international food court.
Back to Seiko's reviews now.
Yes.
So you write these reviews, and I'm guessing that they've become very popular.
Yeah.
People look at these. Now, do the restaurants ever see the reviews that you give, and do they ever give you feedback or input or anything?
Yeah, that's why I'm writing at Facebook only. That way, you know, I don't get shot from the restaurant.
Oh,
owners.
Well, but I mean, do you tag the restaurant? Do you say, hey, I'm eating at this place on this day?
No, I haven't heard anything from the restaurant.
Listen, you got to see these reviews. They're unbelievable.
Really?
Here's what I think, Corey, and tell me if this is a business model that this could work. And you may know more about this than I do anyway, Corey, but here's what I think. I think Seiko could be a consultant to restaurants about how to be authentically Japanese. And if they had Seiko's blessing, they could be very popular. Yeah.
They
could go on and say, look, this is Seiko, you know.
Well, ramen has become very popular.
Yeah, it is getting popular.
Yeah.
This is the new fad for ramen. I mean,
sure.
The weird thing is that all of these food, what happens in America is somebody in New York opened up, you know, 15 years ago, somebody opened up a momofuku, you know, New York and L.A. always have food trends before the rest of the country.
And they take some time to
get
to the Midwest.
And finally they get to the Midwest. And, you know, there was a Korean barbecue truck in L.A., you know, 15 years ago. And now, so this becomes popular. Ramen is the new
wave
flavor of the month.
There's
Trend.
Okay, now, I will go through, because I have been to many of these restaurants as well. And I have one I think is the best in the area, not the city, but in the metro area, and I think you reviewed it.
Okay,
so I think we agreed on that one. But what are you looking for in a bowl of ramen? What is it that you? Because you go into detail about, you're really looking for like the sense memory of like your childhood, like what's in the bowl. It's
because you know, honestly, I think I'm looking for my memory from Japan. When I eat ramen, because I grew up with it, it's like you guys really into pizza. You know?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, the same thing, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
But is there a thing that because when I read these reviews and you talk about how authentic they are or not, do you feel like I feel like maybe, and you would know you were just there in Japan, that maybe even the Japanese restaurants are becoming more American as a way to attract new customers to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Every Japanese restaurant in Detroit is somewhat Americanized.
Okay.
In good way or bad way sometimes. But my point is, even though it's get Americanized, still, if I think it's good, you know, which means, you know, I can give them a certificate.
Yes. So, he has his own, he certifies the restaurant.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the best
Once
part.
Once you get the Seiko seal of approval, it is
there
all...
There should be an actual certificate.
You should...
A picture of his head, Corey, with
you
like
You should
a,
make stickers.
Yeah, Sticker, something yeah. like that. And they could put it on their thing and yeah. say... Because if you got, what, like a, what is the a Michelin review or something?
Mm.
You would get, like, a sticker for your yeah. restaurant.
Oh.
Or, like, in New York, Time Out will give you on their best restaurants list. And they'd have a sticker. If it was certified by Seiko... I mean, that would be a reason for people to go to that restaurant.
And feel free to appropriate our rating scale, the finger.
I don't know that the finger's appropriate.
Oh, okay.
why don't you explain the finger scale to Seiko?
When we review things, we give them, you know, 1 to 5 fingers.
1 to 5? 5 is best?
5 is best.
5 is best.
One is bad.
No. One is bad.
One is the worst, yeah.
The idea is that it's based on... Oh, God, should I even say it?
No, now? We do.
In this era, it seems way more inappropriate nowadays to say why the 5
Was that a Cherry
from.
Brooklyn
Well, it was a
thing
about if you were on a date... And the number of fingers on that date that you were able to use.
Oh, you know, you didn't
on your
have to
date.
Go that
yes,
far.
That would be. I'm explaining to Seiko.
All right.
Explaining to Seiko. That's an American thing. In Japan, they do not have, they do not use the fingers.
Okay, now they're
the
now,
same way.
Did you, there's a restaurant and now has 2 locations. I think you reviewed it, but I can't remember your review. I find it to be, I think it would be upsetting if I was Japanese. I've been there.
Okay.
It's called Ima, which means now.
Okay,
right?
Ima.
In Japanese and in Nihongo. I'm just using the 2 semesters of Japanese I took in college to the fullest extent. But they have one in Detroit, in Corktown in Detroit, and then they have one in Madison Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And they do ramen, but with udon noodles.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, that to me is a slap in the face.
What is an udon noodle?
There's a different kind of noodle. So you have... Oh. Ramen noodles are kind of thinner.
Yeah.
Ramen noodle is egg noodle.
Egg noodle. Egg noodle. Okay.
And then udon are thicker wheat flour noodles.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you have soba, which nobody here does. But soba is like buckwheat.
Buckwheat.
Noodles.
Okay. Yeah. Now, should you not have that, Seiko? Is that wrong to mix the noodles with the...
Yeah, to me, it tastes really funny.
It tastes funny.
It's like if you put cheddar cheese on a pizza.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not... You know
is
what I mean?
It a texture thing or a taste thing?
It just feels wrong.
Just wrong.
You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
your pizza should have mozzarella as a base, uh-huh. right?
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Usually, sure, yeah.
If you could do a pizza...
Right.
You could do a pizza with brie on it or whatever,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
like, it's not going to be official.
Like, okay. You know, if you guys eat sushi with ketchup, you know, tastes funny, right?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Like that, so...
Okay.
No.
But do they feel like the Americans will like this better? Like it is somehow more palatable to an American audience?
I think it depends on the American who is how much familiar with Japanese culture.
Yes. And they're not. Yes. And that in general, we're not. And I think also the chef just thinks he's being clever.
Yeah.
And the chef says, oh, let me come up with an idea. You know, oh, we got to do something different.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, now I haven't been here. The hot new restaurant in Ferndale is called Antihero.
Yes.
Antihero.
And I believe Seiko's reviewed Antihero, and he didn't care for it.
And it is a izakaya, mm-hmm. right? Which is now, after ramen, the newer trend is izakaya.
What
is
pub. Pub.
What is it?
Pub.
Pub?
Uh-huh. Yes.
A pub. Okay.
Yeah. So, at izakaya, you'd get like... yakitori, you get like chicken skewers.
Chicken kebab okonomiyaki, okay. like a Japanese pizza.
Okay.
Okonomiyaki, that's right. Say it again, Joel.
Okonomiyaki.
Okonomiyaki.
Yeah, which is like a big, it's a crazy thing. It's like a big pancake and they put onion and cabbage and all kinds of things in it. Uh-huh. It's just a giant pile of stuff. Anyway, What did you think of... Now, what did they do wrong at Anti-Hero? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't read any of kanji in there, so, you know. But, you know...
All right, so they put up kanji and it doesn't mean anything. Kanji, no. For those of you that don't know, are the symbols that make up the words in Japanese. And they put them up and they don't mean anything, right?
Right.
They're just for decoration.
Well, there's three alphabets.
Yes. Well, there's hiragana, katagana, and kanji.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But the kanji are the most exotic characters. They're mm-hmm. the
from
hiragana,
China.
Katagana, a little yeah. more simplified.
They're
yes.
Chinese adapted.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so
and
they put
just
these
didn't mean
up.
Anything?
No,
they just.
But they mean they must
words?
Mean something. But did
well,
they mean
but,
like?
But even the name Anti-Hero sounds very funny to me in Japanese. So I don't. It didn't make any
anti-hero.
Sense.
Anti-hero. Well,
what would be the equivalent in Japanese? Like a ronin? Like a
well, ronin is a samurai who doesn't have any honor.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think it could anti-hero mean that it is sort of playing
no.
on World War. No, it's playing on World War II on some level.
I know. I think these schmucks,
that they're not our villains, but they're our.
No, I think these schmucks took a couple words and
slapped them together.
Slapped them together. Well, you know what's funny? It's now we're doing in Japan. They have English that they just put on things randomly.
Well, there's mm-hmm. always been that, yes.
And so they'll just be random English, and it's sometimes very funny. You'll
yeah.
see T-shirts that'll be
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
"slap chick" or whatever. You're just like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah.
They just took
inappropriate.
Words,
according to you, are right because I have seen many funny T-shirts in Japan.
Yeah.
Some one time, one Japanese girl was wearing the T-shirts. I'm free. I'm easy.
Okay.
Well, I think she meant I have so much freedom.
Yeah.
I'm easygoing. That's
yeah.
what she wanted to say, but
yeah, and then just randomly write English words on things
yeah.
to make it look cool.
To make
yeah,
it
yeah.
look cool. Yes.
And I think
yeah,
we
yeah.
do that here.
Yeah,
well,
the same thing.
I
like
know.
Chinese tattoos on Americans' body.
Well, I've heard this, and tell me this. We were talking about wrestling before you got here, Corey. Actually off the air, but we'll get
yeah.
into a little bit more. But I know that when the American wrestlers go to Japan, they like to take their name and they put it in katagana to sell the T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found out, though, some of them said, like Mick Foley especially, said that the Japanese don't want the katagana name. They want the English alphabet. They want the Romaji, right? That is
mm-hmm.
the English alphabet that we use. You would prefer on an American thing to have that lettering. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? That makes it more authentic. So sometimes
looks
Americans
cool.
trying to put Japanese stuff on it look cool. It actually, to the Japanese, it looks cooler to have the English writing.
Well,
yeah,
for American people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always cooler to see, for an American, it's
yeah.
cooler to see, like, you know,
yeah.
If you bought a T-shirt and it said Godzilla on it,
yeah.
and then or if it said Gojira,
mm-hmm.
it would be cooler.
Cooler,
just
but,
to see, right.
Yeah, not the same way. That's interesting. It's an interesting psychological.
I'm just
thing
I don't get the Jap nerd out on this show as I usually
well,
do.
That's an inappropriate
all,
word.
I know,
but
I get to get all Japanese friendly here and get nuts with all my Jap. Because
right.
I've been a Japanese culture fan.
You have.
My whole life,
yes. mm-hmm.
starting with Uratoraman and Godzilla.
Sure.
So really, that was my first hook when I was a kid.
Let's finish up on the restaurants here before
yes.
we get into that.
Okay.
So
I had 5 minutes on
well,
Pink Lady and Jeff.
Wait, you wait. Well,
right.
hold on
no.
to that. Hold on to that.
But, okay, so what did they do at Antio? It's like fusion?
Fusion, American, you know, pub, based on American pub, but, you know, kind of designed like Japanese styled.
Okay.
Maybe it's a good place to hook up American girls who don't know much about Japan.
Well, that might be why it's like,
so, yeah, yeah.
So do they do things like they take a gyoza, but they fill it with like hamburger meat or something? Or what? Like, do they do something weird where they take Japanese ingredients and put American kind of things in it or other
things? Well, they have ramen, but their ramen tastes like much more only soya sauce with hot water.
Yeah.
And I can see that
is
the
it,
effort.
Because the broth, when you make a traditional ramen broth, there's a couple of different kinds,
mm-hmm.
and they're complicated flavors, and they layer
yeah.
in things, and they
well,
make a. It takes a couple of days to make the stock,
mm-hmm.
right?
Is it harder to source the ingredients in the United States? Is that why the food differs? Is it harder to get the noodles or the fish or those kind of
and
things?
And also, yes, and also more complicated,
okay.
more work, requires more work to make good soup.
Interesting.
And also, even the quality of water is different.
The quality of the water. That's what they say about New York pizza,
yeah.
is that they have better water.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. All right, so give us a good place to go
there's
that you know in Detroit to get ramen or sushi or whatever. What is certified by Seiko to be authentic and delicious and all that?
Yeah, about ramen noodle, yeah. I would say the urban ramen noodle in Detroit, it's good. But
urban ramen?
Yeah.
Urban ramen.
It's a brand new Japanese
noodle. Okay, that's the one.
That's right on Woodward. There's
I've seen it.
Stop right there.
It's over by the Majestic Theater.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, urban ramen. Anything else?
And for sushi, I would say Ajishin Inobai. It's good.
Okay.
And also, Tsushinen in World Lake is pretty good, too.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And also, pot food, Izakaya Sanpei in Canton.
In Canton. Oh, okay.
Yeah, pot food.
What is your go-to, Corey?
From ramen, I would say that the best I've had locally is Slurping Turtle.
Slurping Turtle in Annaba, it's good.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah. What about Noble Fish?
Noble Fish is good too.
Do you like that?
Clausen?
Yeah. Clausen, yes.
Yeah, Noble Fish, and I live right over there. And I've been going to Noble Fish for 20 years, if not longer. It's a little grocery.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little market. And
it's pretty busy, though.
Yeah, it's very busy.
Yes.
And recently, we tried to go over there, and you can't really get it because it's a little tiny sushi bar.
Yeah. And there's a few lights. Yeah.
Can you sit down?
Can I sit down? I'm a big guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But there's only what, maybe five seats at the bar, and then there's like four tables.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's very hard to get in there, and it's like in the back of the. Ooh. They're expanding it, and I don't want them to ruin. The
oh,
atmosphere.
Okay. You don't want it ruined.
But and a lot of sushi, like famous, like Jiro Dreams of Sushi. His sushi bar only has like 10 seats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of.
So part of the appeal of good Japanese food is the exclusivity of it.
Yeah, and you're just in this tiny little spot, and there's drawings all over the walls. And so Noble Fish is great. It's authentic. Anyway, we tried to go there, and it's very hard to get in.
Okay.
You have to time it very. You have to like be right there when they open.
Well, a lot of people get it to go.
If you want
to go
there for a date, your girlfriend must be very patient.
Yeah.
And like you cannot get to sit down within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
No,
you got
to
play the long game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't just bang bang.
A lot of requires a lot of commitment for your girlfriend and for restaurant too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I took my wife over there. And we tried to go, and it was packed. So I said, "All right, well, is there something close?" And I looked on Yelp, and there's a place called Sushi Gallery.
Oh, Sushi Gallery. Okay.
Which was a mile away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to fink on them.
Oh.
I'm going to drop a dime on them.
Yeah.
They would not get the Corey certification.
Oh, no.
I think Seiko would drop the big, you drop a Liger bomb on them right now. I went in and something didn't seem right to me.
Sushi Gallery.
And then I listened. I went, wait a second. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
And then I didn't see any Japanese writing anywhere.
That's a red flag, too.
Yes. Red flag. Interesting.
Did you see Japanese customers?
I saw. There weren't many people in the restaurant. There was maybe two other
friends. Okay. That means a red flag.
Yeah, that's a red flag as well. Yeah. And we only went there because Noble Fish was
too
was
many
fat.
Whiteys, not good. Is what? That what you're saying?
I definitely.
Too many white guys.
Definitely don't want that many gaijin in the place. And but I looked up and I saw, wait a second. I saw a Korean sign.
Oh.
And I read, though they were Koreans sushi.
How dare
and
they?
And I read, I was like, God damn it, I caught you.
Oh.
Tricky.
President Trump, build this wall. Keep the Koreans out of the Japanese restaurants.
Well, but that's, you know what I mean? Okay.
Look, there's a lot of people who will not give a shit.
Right.
They don't care what it is.
I bet sometimes.
If you're yellow, it's fine. Let's go.
Exactly.
Let's eat.
But I have strict rules. If I go to an Indian restaurant, I don't want to see Jose in the kitchen.
Okay. Right.
You know what I mean? Right?
That might be fair.
That's, I don't want to see, any of the, whatever. You know, I want to see the appropriate, if you're going out for the experience of authentic food.
Yeah.
I don't have as much of a problem with fusion stuff because I understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I could see where, look.
Yeah.
And this happens too. England can't make pizza. In my experience,
you know what? It's been almost 19 years since I've been there. But yeah, I mean, I don't remember getting a lot of. You know what? I went to a Pizza Hut in London, and it was
Pizza Hut can't make pizza.
But it was that's what I mean. It was as bad as American Pizza Hut. So in that way, it was authentic. But yeah.
I went to a German sports bar in Wiesbaden, Germany.
Yeah,
that was called Yours.
Okay,
I don't know what it was. It was not Right.
Yeah.
Nothing worked.
Well,
did
they try to have chicken wings or what did they do?
No, just the burger had like veal in it and sausage. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like it was like big, thick German pickles. And I'm like, this is not, you guys are like.
A little bit off. Yeah.
Not there. Yeah, so I understand. Right. I appreciate Seiko's hunt for authenticity.
But Seiko, when you walk into the Japanese restaurant, do people come around? Does the manager come and speak to you? Do they go like,
sometimes,
ooh, look out, the Japanese guy's here.
Sometimes I feel that they pay attention to me.
A little bit more.
Yeah,
maybe.
They pretend that they don't pay attention to me, but you know, I feel they appreciate.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. But also, I was wondering this, and I don't know where you eat. But the last time I've seen Seiko, but one time I ran into you in an American restaurant.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, back last fall, we ran into each other at the Brass Rails, speaking of pizza. But you, do you ever go like, hey, maybe I don't want to eat Japanese food all the time?
I go to an American restaurant.
Yeah. But do you prefer to have Japanese food or do you now just do it for these reviews?
I'm not really, you know, picky about food, so I can eat anything.
Okay.
But for reviews, I think I'm eligible to review only Japanese restaurant I'm from Japan.
Ah.
So I'm not really Italian like you. So, you know, I don't think I can review pizza or something.
I'll take you to Roma Cafe or something. We'll have some chicken parm.
American Italian food is not the same.
Right.
Authentic Italian
food.
The problem with Italian food is that it is regional, meaning that the southern Italian food and the northern Italian. And some places, when you go to Italian, they will say, we are a brown sauce restaurant. Some places will say, we are a red sauce restaurant.
But even actually Japanese food, too.
Does it have that as well?
Yeah. If you're from east side, west side, they have different soup, too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I do not know that.
Yes. Well, like okonomiyaki, is that like Osaka?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like Osaka thing? And now, you're from Tokyo?
Mm-hmm.
What part of Tokyo?
In the middle of Tokyo, you know, Setagaya, called Setagaya, in the pretty close to downtown.
All right.
Okay.
Because Tokyo is a vast area.
It is. Mm. It's a giant city.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, well, it makes it easier for the monsters to move around.
Well, tell him your love of Japanese monsters. Let's get back to
that. I'm a big Godzilla fan.
Right. And Ultraman. And
all that stuff, yeah.
Inframan
Tokusatsu, as they say.
SFX.
Yeah.
Science fiction.
Okay.
Japanese stuff. So, yeah, I've always been a big nerd for that stuff.
All right. But was that popular with you, Seiko, when you were a child?
Yeah,
very. You liked all that?
You know, I grew up with Ultraman, Godzilla movies.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
And what else, Corey, do you like from Japan?
I like, stuff. I don't know.
Well, video games probably is a big thing.
Anime.
Anime. Anime is not a thing that I've ever been that much into. Or manga. That's not an area.
I used to be more into anime. I still love, you know, Miyazaki and, you know, the art style stuff. But I used to be more into anime 20 years ago.
Yes.
But I couldn't keep up with all of the stuff that goes on now.
Right. The one that I own is Grave of the Fireflies.
Which is one of the most depressing movies.
It is. I think it's a great movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's completely sad.
It's not all of its happy end. Totally different from US American movies.
It does not have a happy ending, but I like the movie.
Well, see, when we were kids, there was a show called, which is Gatchaman.
Gatchaman.
In Japan, but was here called Battle of the Planets.
Battle of the Planets I did enjoy as
and
a kid, yes.
So in the late 70s, early 80s, that show, they dubbed it here and cut it all up and they added...
They added
a stupid R2-D2 knockoff robot in the American footage that they added onto named Seven's Arc 7. But like, I was always into that stuff. And then there was a show called Robotech, which is Macross in Japan. And so they cut that up with other shows. They didn't have enough episodes of the Japanese shows. So they slapped two other shows onto it.
Well, the thing now, I think it is a golden age if you want to follow any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's way easier than it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about wrestling. I mean, geez, I'm watching the shows live from Japan. New Japan Pro Wrestling World and the other... Every Japanese league now has a streaming service that you can sign up for and watch it live.
What are the other Japanese leagues still?
Well, there's All Japan Pro Wrestling.
So New Japan,
which All Japan Pro Wrestling was founded by Giant Baba. You must know Giant Baba.
Giant Baba.
Yeah.
He passed away.
But Giant Baba had that league. Their top wrestlers, which was Misawa and Kobashi, left All Japan Pro Wrestling after Baba's death to form Pro Wrestling Noah, and they are still around. There is Dragon Gate Pro Wrestling. There is Pro Wrestling, what it was, there's DDT Pro Wrestling.
Michinoku folded, right?
Michinoku folded. They may still exist in a very smaller form. But, yes, there was Toriyuman.
We're going down the rabbit hole.
Well, there's the Japanese Women's League, like Stardom is the big women's Japanese wrestling league right now. And, you know, you can watch all of those shows in the United States. Now, some of them, you do not get really much help. New Japan has American commentators on every major show now.
And Jim Ross
No. Kevin Kelly.
Which
one's
Jim Ross doing?
Well, he was doing New Japan Pro Wrestling on Access TV. But his contract ended, okay. So they didn't replace him. So what they would do is they would take the Japanese tapes and re-comment, put the new commentary on them. But you can watch the American guys. They're sitting ringside, and they're calling all of the Japanese matches in Japan live. And it's great. And it's so easy to follow now.
Mm.
And the website, it will translate into English. And you can read that. And when they have their YouTube channel... because now they used to be hard when the guys would do promos, which in Japan, the promos aren't as big a deal as they are in like WWE, where the guy comes out and talks. But at the end of the match, the guy who won, whether it be, Tanahashi or Naito, will give these big speeches. And now they have a guy that can translate them right there on the fly.
They do more like press conference.
And they do. But in those
interviews in Japan.
But on their YouTube channel, you can watch those subtitled. And the guy, there's a guy named Chris Charlton, who's a guy from England who lives in Japan and does color commentary and also will translate the promos and stuff.
In general, Japanese wrestling is taken a little more seriously.
Sure, yeah. It depends. The DDT is very silly.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm not saying they don't. I mean, look, Jushin Thunder Liger.
Well, he
runs around in a couple, you know.
The DDT is a silly. So there's a guy named Kota Ibushi. You ever hear of Kota Ibushi? Very famous guy, great worker. But he would do matches with stuffed animals.
Mm.
It will be Kota Ibushi against a stuffed animal, and they're great matches because Kota Ibushi is so good.
What?
And then they'll do matches in the woods. They'll just go out and wrestle in the
fields. I just heard a blood vessel pop in Kentucky in Jim Cornette's head.
Well, the Jim Cornette doesn't like that stuff, but he doesn't. but it's funny, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling, the guy who books that is a guy named Ghetto. Ghetto's the guy who wrote Motherfucker on his headshot to me, which I told that story before.
Yeah,
you
want to
look that up.
It's a beautiful story.
But Ghetto was raised on Southern American wrestling.
Oh.
And that's his favorite. So he was a Japanese guy who liked American wrestling, and now that he runs the Japanese league, he books it like an American promotion from 30 years ago. So that's why a lot of American fans who like old-style wrestling really like New Japan, because it's very traditional American wrestling, which now American wrestling
is interesting.
It's interesting. Cross-culturally things, yeah.
Impact each other.
Okay, Seiko, we're gonna end, I think we should do that at the end. You're gonna teach us some Japanese swear words.
I don't know.
I want to learn some Japanese.
I wouldn't
swear
even
words.
Know what the Japanese.
Well, they don't teach you that, you know, in textbooks.
No,
I'm not getting that.
Either.
I'm not getting swear words. I have Duolingo. I'm not getting that.
Kori. But yeah. I get that question many times.
My name actually means what? Where in Japanese or this?
Koru? Well, it's Kori.
Kori, right?
Yeah, well, it's K-O-R-E, right?
Kore.
Yeah.
Kore, yeah.
So I would have to change, it means this. I would have to change my name in Japan.
Kore.
Which is much like Joel's name in Italian means this Jew pussy. Joel, in an Italian neighborhood, they'd be like, who's this Jew over here?
Joel means Jehovah is God in Hebrew.
You're the only Italian with the name Joel.
Well, it's because my mother. I've told the story many times about my mother, how she named me. My mother would watch movies, and she would see the credits, and there were guys named Joel. And there were doctors. You drive by the doctor's office, and the doctor was named Joel. And the lawyers were named Joel. So she thought if she named me Joel, I would be successful, not realizing that the movie producers and the doctors and lawyers were all Jewish people.
Well,
and I'm Italian, but she didn't know that.
You could be Giuseppe Fragamenti.
Dad is Giuseppe Fragamenti.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means Joseph.
You could be, yeah.
In Japanese, I'm Joru.
Joru.
J-O-R-U, if you're writing it out.
Well, I'd have to be like CJ or something
Joru.
Over there. My name means this.
Yeah, that's okay.
It'd be confusing.
Well, so what?
Yeah.
Well, Seiko's a watch. It hasn't hurt
him. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's it.
Has anyone bought a Seiko watch in years? Is that still available?
I think Seikos are a very fine time. Am I correct on that? They're very good timepieces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you wear a Seiko watch?
Oh, of course. To remind my name all the time.
Yes. Why not? I should have any doubt that you would be wearing that.
It's all my own brand.
When he's writing a check, he has to look.
All right. So Seiko, recently, you went back to Japan.
Yep.
And I was reading all your Facebook posts, I got a little sad for you that you felt like you didn't fit in Japan anymore. Is that what was
reverse
going
culture
on?
Shock was real.
Yeah.
You know?
Really?
I have been away from Japan too long. You know.
You think so?
Oh yeah, because whenever I met my friends, college friends, you know, they were talking about their kids and you know things that recently happened. I had no idea what they were talking about.
So us Americans, we look at Seiko and go, nothing could be more Japanese. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, this guy is 100% Japan and everything, and then he goes over there and he feels that he doesn't fit
in.
You
know, they say, like, when a baby bird falls out of a nest, you shouldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Because the mother will reject the human smell on it.
Okay.
So I think you've got American scent on you.
Well, it's not obvious to me, Corey. I don't see anything. I look at this guy and go, this is the real deal right here.
He's a Merakujin des.
Yeah, no. I'm kind of sad about that. But what did you notice was different about Japan, or what was culture shock to you from living in America this long?
I came to this country in 1999. When compared to that time, we have definitely in Japan more older people.
Older people in Japan, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And foreigners.
Okay.
Yeah, when I got to Japan, I tried to go through immigrations, and they had 10 sections, 10 gates for foreigners, 3 gates for Japanese people.
Oh, okay.
So which means definitely they have more foreigners than Japanese people.
So the borders have been open in Japan.
Right.
But is that good or bad in Japan?
Well, maybe good, you know, because I really appreciate that recently many American people come to Japan.
Yeah.
And also, I have seen many... even Michigan-American people who say they have been to Japan, you know?
Well, I mean, I think the world is a smaller place than it used to be. And I you know, Corey, we talk about England and stuff now. I mean, I know from going, I went to England 3 times in 10 years. And by my last trip, it was shocking how it was losing its identity in a way. Do you find that Japan is losing it? What makes it unique? Because I feel like Asia is still pretty unique. I feel like Europe is becoming more like America, and you know, and in some ways, maybe America becomes more like Europe or other places.
I think Japan is still, in the core, is still pretty much Japan, but, you know, we see more English signs, sometimes funny English signs, too.
Yeah.
And because we expect foreigners to come over to for sightseeing, so definitely.
So they have to have English everywhere.
Yeah, English everywhere.
Yeah.
And also, you know, many people think that the English is cool to speak.
Ah.
Honestly, I don't know about that.
Well, there's nothing cruel about me or Corey. We know that already, right?
Right.
We're not the...
Yeah. You know, like if I say that, I have been living in the United States for 20 years, then... many Japanese people think that, it's so cool!
Yeah. Well, this is what I know about Japan. And tell me if I'm wrong. And I think Corey will agree with me on this. Black guys in Japan. That's a very big deal, right? Me and Corey, not so much. Doughy white
Babu sapu!
Yeah, but when you get a big black guy, right? That's impressive to Japanese people, right? A big, tall man.
Well, I heard that one time one black African-American guy went to Onsen Hot Spring. Everybody was trying to check the size.
The size of his penis.
That's like a sauna.
Sauna.
Like a bath. Like a, it's a resort with hot,
but,
hot
you know,
mineral water.
Mike Bonner, who's a comedian, by the way, I'm on Mike Bonner's show every Tuesday night, 9:10 a.m. Superstation.
Seiko would be a big hit over on Bonner's show.
But Mike, I should bring him on.
You should bring
Mike
over there.
Mike tells a joke in his act. He says he went to Okinawa, which is an island off Japan, even though it's an American big base there or something. Yeah, yeah. I don't know what. Is Okinawa part of the United States? It's a territory of
They have a military
like
base.
That. But he was a joke about he goes over. You know, Mike Bonner's about 5'7", right? He goes over there and they say, "You Shaq O'Neal. You Shaq O'Neal." Because he's got a big head like Shaquille O'Neal, but he's only 5'7". Shaquille O'Neal is 7 feet tall.
If we sent Ricardo Flanagan over there, they'd freak out.
Maybe they would, yes. But that's a big guy. Deal, right? Black guys.
Mm.
So that's yeah, that's very exotic.
She definitely look outstanding, you know?
Interesting.
Now, they have a freak mutant dish in Okinawa because the because the U.S. servicemen are stationed. Yes, they have a, which is very controversial.
Okay, yeah.
A lot of the Japanese
right.
government isn't real thrilled with there still being a base there. But
much of what I know of Okinawa comes from Karate Kid Part 2.
Sure.
But go ahead.
Sure.
Yes.
But they do, they have, speaking of fusion dishes, they have a thing called taco rice.
Oh.
Which is Japanese rice with taco ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is, this is the weird things that happen when you have, you know. Mm.
Two different cultures crush
and,
each other.
Isn't it, there's like a weird, like, Brazilian thing in Japan, right? Mm. Because sometime in the, like, 60s, a bunch of Japanese went to Brazil.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And there's a Brazilian community in Japan.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or a Japanese community in Brazil.
Because they want to come back to Japan for jobs, you know?
Mm. Yeah, yeah, but there's like kind of a cross-cultural thing.
Well, Antonio
there was
Inoki,
even a Kamen Rider, I'm Amazon.
Yes.
That's
interesting.
Right. Going nerdy.
Let me ask you this about Japan. If me and Corey went over there, would we get girls being American? Is that attractive to women to be an American guy in Japan?
Not us, but if
well, an, let's just say
an attractive American guy.
Let's say us for start with us. Would we be attractive to Japanese women? Would they like American guys, funny guys like us?
Sure.
Boy, that's we are not certified in Japan, Corey. By
no,
Zico.
We're not certified anywhere.
But they would
parts
would they,
of Iowa.
Would they like a more handsome American man or a black guy? What
no,
would
generally,
that?
Generally, I think I would say honestly, American guys. Could be popular in Japan.
We could be popular.
Well, yeah, because U.S. is the most familiar country for Japanese people.
But maybe if we looked more like cool American guys, like Elvis or something, and not, you know, Kevin Smith or whatever we look
you
like.
Know, what are
we? Jonah Hill.
Sadly, Kevin Smith's on a diet. So
yeah, I know. He's
going
to look better than us.
Well, I always thought that if you learned Japanese...
Yeah.
I have a friend who's actually, she is actually a voiceover artist, and she does a lot of anime shows.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the lead characters on Kill la Kill, which was on Cartoon Network. But anyway, and she took Japanese in high school and a little bit in college.
Oh, she's American.
She's American, yes. But I always told her she should go over there and she'd be a big star.
Okay.
Because if you're an American that speaks Japanese...
Okay, what about American girls
kind
to
of
Japanese guys?
Well,
same thing?
What I hear is often American girls who live in Japan have trouble with finding a Japanese boyfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because I think I can understand a couple reasons.
Interesting.
Generally, Japanese guys
because
are
Japanese
very conservative.
Are
conservative
very,
guys.
Extremely racist.
Well, I don't know about that.
Not racist. Japanese guys are more conservative.
Okay.
And also...
American girls are too mouthy, right? They're too... They talk too much, American girls.
Let me put this in.
I'm just referring to the American girls I know.
American girls may expect men to entertain them more than Japanese women.
Okay.
So that's why, you know... often, because the last time when I went back home, you know, I met my ex-girlfriend. She's from Michigan.
Oh.
She's an American girl.
Yeah.
She said many Japanese guys want to sleep with her, but, you know, not date.
Ah.
You know.
They just want the one time.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, I not that they're the same, but I had a friend that taught English in Korea. And she had trouble dating Korean guys.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And ended up, she met a guy from Montreal there.
Oh, okay.
But like, it is different. I think it's a really different...
Yeah, I never think about the women's perspective, but I could see where...
Well, she dated a couple Korean guys, but it was hard to...
Like, I could see, if you're an American guy who likes Asian girls, going to Japan seems like a great thing.
Yeah, great thing.
But maybe if you're an American woman, it wouldn't be so good.
Unfortunately, a sense of humor, which is a superpower in your own culture, becomes a complete deficit in another culture.
Does it?
Well,
I don't know.
In terms of, does the stuff translate?
Probably not.
Have you ever watched a Chinese comedy?
Well, I want to talk about this Japanese show I watched recently in a minute.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. Does it? Is that... Do you find that the sense of humor is different between the United States and Japan? Is that?
I think my opinion is like physical things, like, you know, kind of,
yeah.
Like, you know, the humor is probably universal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, think about the very universal comedians, Charles Chaplin, Buster Keaton's, and
yeah, okay, and you
those
like
are, you know
Japan Japanese people like those
oh,
guys,
yeah, yeah,
Charlie
yeah.
Chaplin, and
they
those
are even popular in Japan, used to be.
But like a guy like Jerry Seinfeld, who just talks, I'm guessing in Japan no one cares.
Well, no one knows his
name. No one knows him. Yeah,
yeah.
So if you want to be big in Japan, who was a big American star in Japan then? I mean,
comedian,
comedian or anybody? Yeah.
Well.
Probably you know.
Actors, you know.
Yeah.
Probably they are recognized as actors, you yeah. know. Even you know, Adam Sandler. He's
Adam Sandler, they like him.
But, you know, probably many people think that he's just an actor, not a comedian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, okay, so, all right, let's name some great Japanese comedians.
Well, I want to...
Beat Takeshi.
Beat Takeshi, but he's a director in the United States.
Yeah, and now he makes Yakuza movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
He makes
yeah.
very,
but he is actually a comedian.
Yeah, he's a famous comedian in Japan.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
he makes like real hardcore gangster
well,
movies.
I enjoyed some of these. Well, I guess we'll just talk.
That's about it. That's about all
I
the comedians.
I wanted to do this next. No, but I watched the show, Seiko. Maybe you know the show, called Documental. Do you know the show in Japan?
Documental. Okay.
Documental. Well. I can show it to you if you want to see it. It's on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and it's subtitled in America. They put a bunch of Japanese comedians.
Mm-hmm.
They go into a room, and everybody has to bring money. Everybody puts their money in the middle, and if you laugh, you have to leave the room.
Oh, okay. Now I know what
now
you
I know
mean.
There's shows
yeah,
like
I
that in
it.
Japan.
Yeah.
But this guy, I forget the guy's name, but I'll look it up for you real quick. This guy's unbelievable. I've seen the show. It's on Amazon. You can get it in English. I've recommended it here on the show before. But, Corey, did you ever check that out?
No.
Oh, my God. You got to see this thing. It's unbelievable. It's so funny. Documental. And there's a guy, Matsumoto.
Matsumoto Hitoshi.
Hitoshi Matsumoto. Yeah.
Yeah, he is a very well-known comedian.
He is the judge. Meaning he is organizing the game. And he sits in the control room.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine it's like Big Brother, Corey. But it only lasts 6 hours, and these guys have to make each other laugh. And if you don't laugh, you win all the money.
Yep.
That's how the game works. And it's on Amazon. It's unbelievable.
You know, and I've studied Japanese culture my whole life. I've loved. I mean, I really think that mid 20th century films in Japan was one of the greatest eras of any country ever had with Kurosawa and Kobayashi. Anyway, I'm blaming Mizoguchi. There was a tremendous wave of great directors, but from the late 40s to the mid 60s, Seijin Suzuki, I love, who did a lot
right.
of gangster. Anyway, I love that stuff, but the comedy eludes me.
Right.
I
well,
really find
this guy
the comedy hard to crack.
Do you know Jimmy Onishi?
Jimmy Onishi, yeah.
Jimmy Onishi's on the show, Corey. It's the funniest guy in the world.
Right, yeah, probably you can watch the YouTube. You know, he was trying to speak English.
Yes,
English
Jimmy Onishi trying to speak English is hilarious, but he's kind of like a dumb guy, right? Is
yeah.
that his character? He's an idiot.
Yeah, he's a character.
And they make Jimmy Onishi do all this. It's this guy. You got to see this, Corey.
All right.
Seriously, me and my girlfriend watched there's two series on Amazon.
Where can I find this?
It's on Amazon Prime.
Ah,
and it's okay. in, but
well,
it may not pop up on your thing. Right? You got to search for it. It's called
yeah.
Documental, and it's on Amazon.
All right,
Amazon produces all these international shows, and you can get them in the States, but they don't always show up. Like when you turn on, if I go to my television, turn on Amazon Prime, it doesn't recommend those to me. But yeah, they've subtitled the first two seasons. They've made many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But this Jimmy Onishi guy's on both, and this guy's a gold. Oh my God!
Now Seiko, I see you went and saw. You went and watched Buster Keaton movies.
Yeah.
Well, you just said he liked Buster Keaton.
And how,
yeah.
So
I love the heat.
So you said that's a very physical...
Yeah, physical thing. So I think it's a very physical thing. It's very universal.
Yeah.
But if the language is involved, it's sometimes, you know.
All right. So no Abbott and Costello in Japan. Seiko doesn't even know Abbott and Costello.
I'm going to watch a movie tonight about Laurel and Hardy.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I've never found them funny
well,
in English. So, you know.
When I was like in the fifth grade, they got The Flying Deuces for us to watch as like our after-school movie. And you had to pay $2. And it was like nothing like a bunch of kids in the 80s trying to watch a fucking Laurel and Hardy movie. Nothing flopped harder than that. It was unbelievable. So I guess the principal must have liked that or something.
Well, this stuff, we should use this profile picture of you with your I hate being sexy, but I'm a Japanese, so I can't help it. We need
for Seiko.
He's got a Christmas
we'll
sweater
something.
And he's got boxing gloves. I mean, this is a great profile.
Well, let's get to why Corey invited you here today, yes. Seiko, as we transition here. You brought back snacks from Japan. Are these from Japan, or did you go to the Japanese supermarket to buy these?
Well, actually, I had a bunch of snacks, but Corey was so slow to respond to me. I started eating it.
He ate all the stuff.
So you ate them.
Yeah, so then he suddenly responded to me, we are ready. Oops.
Okay.
Then I had some of them are from Japan, some of them are from here. So,
all right.
You
know. Well,
there's a lot. You can get more Japanese goods here than there used to be.
That's another thing that is sort of ended is you can get most, say, many Japanese snacks here.
Really, there was like Noble Fish in the Detroit area. I mean, if you went to New York, L.A.'s got a Japan town.
Yeah.
And so does San Francisco, and so you could find more stuff there, but it was hard to find Japanese snacks. Now you can get, stuff's all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know.
All right, well,
you can get matcha Kit Kats and stuff.
Well, show us what we got, Seiko. Right. Tell us what everything is here. And
you can find Pocky.
You can hand it to Corey first, probably.
They've got Pocky at GameStop.
Or maybe I'll take one and Corey will take one. Or
You already know this.
What are these?
You said
these, I just said matcha Kit Kats. These are green tea.
Okay, green tea Kit Kats. All right. Now, I'm not supposed to eat sweets in the month of January, per my girlfriend. Uh-huh. But I don't know. Maybe a green tea Kit Kat's not sweet, Corey. You'll have to tell me.
Not that sweet.
All right. What else you got? All right, give me something that's maybe a salty snack or something.
Okay.
And I'll try it.
Then rice cracker?
Rice.
Oh, okay. All right. This is a traditional rice cracker here.
What do I get? Come on. Give me something.
Here you go.
This
has some seaweed on it, right?
All right. This is from Japan.
Ah.
Seaweed snack.
Ah!
Seaweed snacks. All right, Corey, that sounds like you.
Seaweed snacks. All right.
What do you like, Seiko? What's your favorite?
That's one.
This one here, rice. I'm going to open these up.
You know, each one has small packets. So.
Sure, green tea. Now, the green tea Kit Kat has a very... it has a subtle flavor.
All right, so there's bags inside of bags. Are the bags different, or are the snacks...
Oh, the same.
They're all the same snacks.
Oh. Yeah.
So I can have a little
pack. Okay, now he's getting wild with it.
All right, what else we got?
Shrimp cookie.
Shrimp cookies.
Shrimp cookies? Holy shit.
Yeah, actually, my Japanese employees from Japan sometimes bring these to office.
Are those popular in Japan, shrimp cookies?
Yes.
But really?
Over here, no.
Yeah.
By the way, these are people that eat fried octopus balls.
They do. But I'm having this rice thing.
Any kind of seafood is a popular snack. I went to, there was, used to be a place in,
look at the Jared's
face.
Well,
I mean, it's...
There was a Japanese market in Livonia called Koyama Shoten, and,
What else we got? Oh, you want some of these? Okay. these things have, like, a, kind of a breadstick thing. These are not bad at all, actually.
Well, and they have, are they glazed in shoyu?
Yeah. Okay. And they're different flavors in here?
Mainly shoyu, soya sauce.
Oh, yeah, this one has a little bit of seaweed.
So, like, the green tea Kit Kat, it has a pretty subtle flavor.
Mm. I'm going to try a green tea Kit Kat.
It's kind of like white chocolate is what you would...
Apologies to my girlfriend and our diet, but I'm going to have a bite of this.
No, that's, trust me.
It is a green Kit Kat.
And Japanese cookies are 0 calories.
What is the green again, Corey?
It's green tea.
Green tea.
And it has a little bit of a tea flavor. All right. Now, the seaweed ones, I'm not sure about.
I'm not sure either way.
I mean, this is like perfectly acceptable.
It's a very mild flavor, right? Right.
Yeah.
It's not. You'll get a little bit of tea. Oh, these are these are like squishy.
What is that? Give me that. Give me one of those.
Hold on. Get a picture of this.
Yikes.
Wait, I'm going to get a picture
of this. Well, this is really...
I'm getting a reaction shot of Seiko here. He's really...
Yeah, what is the thing you're eating?
You messed it up.
Yeah, I
All right.
This is a seaweed snack.
Seaweed snack.
Oh, yeah, no. You're not going to enjoy this, but...
Should I have the shrimp cookie or the seaweed snack first?
Seaweed is going to kill you. Maybe shrimp. You go first.
I go first with shrimp cookie.
The seaweed's going to kill you.
Again, the packaging is very intricate in these snacks.
Like,
there's a tray and then there's bags inside the bags.
So it's a Japanese way,
So the seaweed is very salty.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it has a... You know what?
Sour.
You don't like pickles.
I don't like pickles.
This has a pickly flavor.
Let me have a shrimp cookie first. So these look like, what do these look like, Corey? Is this a, what kind of snack? It's kind of like an oyster cracker.
It looks like a Cheez-It.
Oh! Oh! Oh, shit! Here, take those. Oh, my fucking God. It actually tastes like fish. Mm-hmm. It is a fish-flavored cookie, ladies and gentlemen.
Baby.
A cracker more than a...
Oh!
Oh, my God.
The smell is really potent.
It smells like that shrimp.
Oh, it smells like the...
Now, what is the EB?
Smells like the...
You're eating cracker with shrimp.
Smells
sushi.
Smells like the strip club's dressing room, Corey. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. He's going to throw up.
Not a fan.
You know what? They taste better than they... They taste better than they smell, which, you know, make your own joke, but...
I swear, so, yeah, oh, well, the smell is really bad.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not even a big shrimp fan anyway, but...
Oh, my God. Yeah, those are...
The seaweed, I didn't mind as much because it's like a pickle. Oh, yeah, it's got an aftertaste.
Oh, I'm going
to
eat this.
Let me speak in Japanese to the listeners.
Please send to the Japanese
Japanese listeners, please make sure to give your shrimp cookies to your American friends. これ今手元にあるのは2の焼きエビというやつなんですけど、アメリカ人の人は大嫌いです。Well, I just say that, you know, usually all American people hate the shrimp cookies from Japan, so make sure to give them.
Yeah.
Make sure to say it's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm having the seaweed now.
The shrimp ones are rough.
As a palate cleanser.
Even worse.
Oh, you're going to freak out on that.
Do I have anything I could eat that would... I mean, like, what's an American food that I have?
I've brought...
Well, what do you have?
I have brought American snacks as a palate
I might
cleanser.
Need some of those. Yeah. You got anything good in there for me? Or?
Well, we'll see what we got here. We're not done.
No, but I got to eat this, and then I'm going to... You know,
he's almost crying. I can see his tears.
I'm not doing good.
So this seaweed, okay, it's got, like, a pickle texture, pickle flavor.
Yes. Oh,
but the texture is really
chewy.
It's
like a vinegar smell.
Yeah.
You're not going to like this at all.
Oh. All right, I think I like this. It's very chewy.
Well, I got the idea. If we ain't got two talkative American friends, I should give seaweed snacks.
Oh, they will vomit all over the place.
I'm just going to swallow this.
Okay, be quiet. So I'm going to be the only one DJ today. From now on, I'm going to be only one DJ now. So two American guys just run away. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, now it's a Seiko time only. Seiko hours. So I can speak anything I want in with my English accent. And, well, they throw up. Oh,
Joel,
my God.
Really
Joel got
up.
Sick.
Joel literally threw up.
I almost vomited. I didn't vomit, but I came close. Look, Corey, I've got my emergency bag of...
Well, all right, so I brought...
my emergency bag of Fritos.
I brought a traditional American snack, the combo,
which
of course, the most American of snacks.
Oh, gentlemen, American gentlemen, we are not done yet.
No!
This is just the beginning.
I'm done.
You guys told me to bring a Japanese
snack. I told you to bring snacks.
We haven't even gotten to the bean paste.
What the fuck do you have over there now? All right, what do you have in your hand?
Sorry, listeners, Joel lost his mind.
I had to walk out of the room. Look, as much as this
smell is funky.
The shrimp cookie was not good, but it was edible. The texture of that seaweed was horrible. It smelled like vinegar. What is this thing? This is a cookie?
This is a... this is a dorayaki. This is a...
What is a dorayaki, Seiko?
He looks so scared. Should I explain
it? Yeah, hand it over. I'm all right. I've got two Frito scoops here.
So it's like two pancakes with bean filling, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Baked. Oh, it's baked. Well, this is red bean cake, but it's matcha flavor.
Yeah, matcha
flavor. Well, these looks like pancakes.
Yeah, pancake.
Well,
yeah,
like,
you could
okay,
see.
So like, I'm sorry, what's the red bean is...
Azuki.
Azuki, yeah.
I apologize for my vomiting on my...
Joel, you know why this didn't? You know why this didn't work? You didn't say the words.
What is the word?
Itadakimasu.
Yeah, itadakimasu. You didn't say that. That's fine. You know, bon appetit.
By the way, that's how I caught the Koreans.
Oh, okay.
Because I got the plate, and I said, itadakimasu. The guy looked at me like nothing.
Seiko's like a pig in shit with these things. He loves all of this stuff. Well, this thing doesn't have a smell, though. It smells like a pastry or a little, like, donut.
Yeah, it's a pancake.
All right, well, I bit in without getting filling, and that was okay.
It's really like two, it's like pancakes.
It's like a McGriddle.
Like a McGriddle, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to eat around the filling. Bean filling, here we go.
The filling isn't bad. I mean, it's not like...
Right, you don't, it's actually, it's green, and so it's ugly, but if you didn't look at it,
because
it's not
green-y.
Bad. Again,
well, this is Joel's,
make your joke here.
That was Joel's philosophy.
My
at the
dating
bar. He just wait till it's too dark, and you don't have to look
yeah,
at it.
Yeah, if you don't look at it, it's not bad.
These are actually good.
Same as the dating.
These are kind of like a Twinkie.
Yeah, a little bit.
So those are good.
And the taste of the green, the bean filling is not strong.
Yeah, matcha flavor is generally pretty mild, the green tea.
Yeah.
Now, Seiko, as a first-time guest here on the program, we're presenting you the traditional gift that we give to all our guests.
Yes.
Toffee Fay.
Have you ever had a Toffee Fay?
Too good for kids.
Okay. A Toffee Fay German by, or are they American for?
I don't even know.
I don't
think
even
they're
know.
Like faux.
They might be faux German. So it is a hazelnut candy with a caramel cup.
I'm thinking they are European because they're hazelnut.
No,
Seiko's making a face.
Seiko, no, he doesn't like a Toffee Fay. The fuck?
I may lose my feelings.
No. Well, it's
very,
very
chewy.
Yes. Yeah, the it's caramel. That's the caramel you're chewing up.
It's like a straight goes to diabetes. Or something.
Yeah, maybe. Certainly. It could give you diabetes.
Yeah, give me back the seaweed, please. Yeah.
Okay, so the bean pancake thing's okay. I'm not going to finish it, but it's okay.
So this is just azuki beans that they give matcha flavor to.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
This is good, but, you know, like, tastes like...
It's very intense, the toffee thing. That's why you only get four little pieces in that thing. Because they last you a while.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. What else do we got, Corey? Anything else from Japan, or is that it?
No, I think that's all our Japanese treats. And
oh,
Lord knows.
Actually, I knew that. You got to like
look
the
at this. Look
shrimp
at this.
Cookies.
No, the shrimp cookies.
Look at this spread we got here.
I don't think an American has felt this attacked since Pearl Harbor.
come on now.
I think that shrimp
Seiko
cookie
wasn't
was
around
with,
for that. It's,
you know, I'm aware of the seafood product, the snack,
okay.
Because years ago, because we used to go to, you know, all the Japanese markets and look for, you know, Ultraman toys and stuff, in the candy, you know, the candy boxes. And we went to One World Market and my friend picked up. It said Kasugai Peanut and You.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like little peanut crackers. We didn't notice there was a cuttlefish that was on.
Ah.
I thought that was just the logo for the thing. And I didn't realize that was cuttlefish and peanut flavor.
Peanuts and fish together.
Yeah, and oh, that.
That's a great combination.
So let me ask you this. Is there a commercial where, is there a guy walking down the street eating fish? And there's a guy down the street eating peanut butter,
and
they
run
collide, and the fish ends up in the peanut butter. Is that a commercial?
Mm-hmm. You got your cuttlefish in my peanut butter.
How did that happen? That is based upon our love of American love of chocolate and peanut butter.
Okay,
there was a popular commercial, Seiko.
Yes,
about
for chocolate. Americans do
how
love
you
chocolate
got a Reese's peanut butter cup was a guy was eating chocolate and a guy was eating peanut butter, and
so,
they collided.
I mean, okay, the rice crackers.
Okay, those are perfectly fine.
I've been eating those for years.
Yeah.
You get like a wasabi mix with a little wasabi peas and some
I mean, honestly, aside
nuts.
From the seaweed wraps, you could put those out as like Italian dinner bread sticks and they would be acceptable.
What is, I don't know, the seaweed is a tough flavor for Americans. We don't get
And the green tea Kit Kat, aside from being green, is a perfectly fine Kit Kat.
That's pretty good.
Aside from the color, I think that little pancake thing is okay. The shrimp cookies, I think you're going to open the bag and you're going to run for the hills. And then those seaweed.
Do you want a palate cleanser?
No, I think I'm good. I had my Fritos. I don't think I need a combo. But
Seiko,
thank you.
Would you like a combo? Have you had a combo? You've been here for 20 years.
So they put pizza.
Oh, yeah.
That is
pizza
inside a pretzel. That's what that is.
America.
A wacky American scene, place.
You know,
by the way, I have a theory on combos, Corey.
Our snacks today are all provided by the Axis.
Okay.
What?
I don't know if you want to open those and demonstrate my point or not. In fact, I'll challenge you. without the use of any tools or instruments, because I believe there is a conspiracy in America.
Open a combo bag?
Can you open a combo bag that doesn't completely destroy the bag? Meaning, can you open a combos bag to where it will be sealable and usable in the future eat your combos at a later date?
I've noticed this about Japan. All of the packaging is like very user-friendly. Yes. They usually have like where you're supposed to open it.
Yes.
Little slit. Yes. Sometimes they'll have tools to open. There's ramune drink.
Yeah.
That's the ones in the glass.
Ramune?
Yeah, ramune. Where they have like a little, it comes with a little plastic cap.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
It's got a glass ball stopper.
Okay, yeah.
Have we had this on the show?
I don't know that we've had those. Okay. But
it's got a glass marble at the top of it as the stopper for the drink.
Okay.
And there's a little plastic thing that you push it down to open it. Well, we threw that away the first time I ever got one of those. We didn't realize.
And how to open it?
And for like 6 hours, we walked around trying to figure out how to open this bottle.
Oh, jeez. All right. So, well, do you want to give that? Because, I mean, that's my theory. Because I had combos the other day. I was on my way to Mike Bonner's radio show, and I was driving from wherever I was. And I stopped at a gas station, and I said, well, what can you eat? And combos are a good road food. Because somehow they're more like real food than a potato chip or something.
They're real food real fast.
But when you open the bag, it completely shreds down the side, and the combos go all over the front seat of your car.
Yeah.
That's what happens every fucking time.
By the way, combos are the least real food in the world.
They are.
They're like,
well, open the combos, and let's see how you can do. Now, I've already told you that, so now Corey's going to be extra careful. But again, without scissors, good. You're trying to pull in the seam, but it's very, the glue is very tight. Corey's trying to just pull it from the middle.
I have a hole in it, but the
Wait. Okay, but now can you get your hand? Now put your hand in the bag. Now, see, Corey's not going to do that. But even stick two fingers in the bag, and you will tear that bag all down the side.
It's a flimsy bag.
Yes, but that,
after eating all this Japanese stuff, I'm having a weird, all the salt in this is really
boring. Well, if I was going to eat a combo, I wouldn't eat the pizza ones anyway. I'd eat a cheddar one, but okay. All right. It's enough snacks.
All right.
Seiko.
Wow.
Yeah. Before we get done with
Thanks
Seiko
for trying
here.
To kill us.
Yeah, I know. Well,
with shrimp cookies.
I'm glad that Corey brought the equally dumb American snacks to counterbalance you. Is there your comedy career? I tell everybody about that. I know you have comedy class tonight after you're done with us here. And tell everybody your experience in that and how you found my class and what I taught you in Japan, and if that was good, and or whatever you would like to tell us.
Well, I have been doing comedy for past 5 years, and I have been doing stand-up probably 3 years right now. Well, what I found is by doing comedy is, you know, I can meet new people.
Yeah.
By throwing a comedy.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing is they see me. And they do remember me. But my problem is I don't even remember them. After the show.
Do we all look alike to you? Is that why?
No. Actually, you know, I don't. You know, they, hi, Seiko, how are you doing? You know, yeah. Do I know you? Then they saw me somewhere.
Well, yeah. Well, you're very unique in America that there is no other Japanese comedians.
Right.
I've never met another Japanese comedian in the United States. Corey, would you say the same?
I can't think of one.
Yeah, I can't think of one either.
Yeah, that's
so
why.
There you go.
There's a few Asian comedians,
right.
But they're not.
Well, we had a
they're
guy.
They're Asian American, right?
We had, okay, like when you did my comedy class, I think.
But they're not even Japanese. They're like Filipino.
Well, no. Mm-hmm. We had this guy, Andrew Yang, in my comedy class,
Andrew
right?
Yang? But he's Asian American.
Yeah. And Andrew Yang gets on stage and goes, hey, guys, what's going on? You know, Andrew Yang, he does jokes about his parents because they are from, I think,
Taiwan.
But Andrew himself is a very American guy.
He was born here.
He looks Asian, but he's a very American guy. Whereas when you talk, everybody knows right away where you're from.
Well, you know, I used to feel that my English was bad. And I had an inferior complex about my accent.
Sure.
However, you know, by doing the comedy, you know, I can see that people are laughing at my jokes.
Yeah.
That really gives me a lot of confidence.
Well, what you have to know about yourself, and this is a thing that I tried to instill in you in my class.
Yeah.
Understand that you are unique, and the way that you speak is very funny and entertaining to Americans. And I'm not telling you to fake being, you know, you don't need to fake being Japanese. Be yourself, and that's really funny. That's the thing that I think that's you true. Don't get that. your uniqueness makes is a real advantage to you. When me and Corey go on stage, you know, when we were doing open mics, Corey, there'd be 10 guys that look like us, a bunch of fat white guys.
Sure.
That's all there was. You're completely different, and that's a good thing.
You have to. I have to work harder to distinguish myself.
Absolutely,
with my
viewpoint. Yeah,
you have a viewpoint built in, which is unique, and will audiences will. I also find comedy audiences will give you a leeway. They will give you room to. They'll be like, "Ooh, this guy's different."
Yeah,
he's not an American dude with a goatee or whatever.
Yeah,
and they'll give you a little bit more room to work with. So I think. Sometimes, although I've seen, okay, there's a guy, I've told this story before, but when I was doing the comedy class,
yeah,
he is a Pakistani guy who's a former police officer.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a very different thing.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of Pakistani cops.
Right.
And he would go up and do Kardashian jokes.
Okay, yeah.
Or just doing jokes about things that were not, you know, that were just anybody could do.
Yeah, okay.
What's up with Burger King?
Yeah.
And I just went, why don't you use what you have? Okay. You have a unique experience.
I don't know if it's a new thing to him, but he does lots of jokes about being
Since
Pakistani.
Since then, I think he's done that.
And I think Seiko, to me, I was saying, Seiko, you need to take what people assume about the Japanese and what their preconception is, even if it's wrong, and use that to make them laugh. Because that's true for anybody. When they see you, the first thing they go is, you know, if you're a big, tall comedian, they want to hear, like, a tall joke. A big, fat comedian, they want
to
hear a tall joke.
You have to do
it. And when you're starting out and people don't know who you are, you have to at least give them that taste of things. I had Seiko open. This is what I did for... he hasn't done this in a while, I don't think. Where I had Seiko come out and he thought it was karaoke night.
Yeah.
And he started singing Adele, Corey.
Oh.
You never saw a crowd laugh harder. Unbelievable. So he had to come out... And he started singing karaoke, and then we have Ron, the MC, right? Ron Rigby come out and say, hey, Seiko, just so you know, it's comedy night. And he's, oh, okay, comedy night, I'll do it. It was so great. Mm. And what a great opening.
Yeah, it worked really great.
Yeah, and then you kind of got away from that. But I feel like you need to do more of that in your comedy.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Okay.
What do you feel?
Well, you know, people say that, you know, I should use my stereotype.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. And also, you know, do physical things.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why.
But you've done a lot of your physical stuff, though. You are very funny physically.
Mm.
Not just because you're Japanese, just about the way you move and stuff.
That's what I'm finding.
It's funny. Yeah, yeah. You're a good physical comedian. No matter where you're from, you are a good physical comedian. I don't really do anything physical on stage. Corey does a little more than me,
but there's still
guys that act shit out way more than you do.
Sure.
But Seiko, he's very, like, you are a funny physical comedian, aside from being Japanese, I think, too.
Yeah, and actually, this is something that I found by doing comedy. And I'm 5'8", and I'm kind of skinny guy in the U.S.
In the U.S., you're skinny.
In Japan, maybe fat, but...
Yeah, that's the other thing. He says he's fat in Japan.
Cool. Yeah, that's what my family says.
What's the deal? Because also, Japan, they're always, there's like street food.
Yeah.
And people are walking around in vendor stalls and they go to, why is it so skinny?
Yeah, why are people so skinny in Japan?
Well,
walking all the time?
Walking all the time and also...
The diet is...
Diet and also...
I think they just live in small apartments. It's like veal. You know, it's like a goldfish. You grow to the size of your environment. Oh. I have a big American house, so I'll become a big fat guy.
Now, that's a good point. And Seiko, I need you to address this situation. This Marie Kondo.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with her?
Oh, I know that.
She's throwing away everything, though.
Oh, her deal is she comes in and tells Americans they have too much stuff and they should pack up their shit.
Yeah.
Now, this studio has too much stuff.
It does.
Joel, let me ask, does that stack of papers bring you joy?
It does not bring me joy, but it allows me to do my taxes next year.
Oh, okay.
Which is part of why there's a big... Believe me, there's papers that I do not need and I need to get rid of.
So how do you feel about Marie Kondo downsizing everything, making everyone live...
Like, because a few years ago in Japan, minimalism became really popular. Then
minimalism.
Kondo, Marie Kondo became famous because she is going to throw away everything. And then she became a millionaire by publishing a book.
Then now she has the money to buy stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, everybody thinks that these foreign people, when they come to America, that they're wizards. You know, who's the cook guy? You know, the kitchen confidential guy. That's Bourdain. The other guy, you know the guy I'm talking about. Who's the guy that yells at people? Gordon Ramsay, because he's English, sometimes the English accent, people sound very smart. We had the super nanny. We had none to Japan. The way, they tell you how to be organized.
For most of my life, English food was a punchline.
Exactly. What so the
now,
fuck is that
now
guy?
We have British chefs
yeah.
that are highly acclaimed.
Get the fuck out of here with the British chefs.
This is a country where they put butter and French fries
right.
on bread, and they call it a chip
and
buddy.
We have the Mexican yeah. dog expert.
Yeah.
Somehow the accent, Americans are very stupid in that they think that the accent makes you somehow smarter than us. Although,
whereas Americans hear an accent, they're like, shut up, foreigner.
Yeah, except for... If you're Caesar Milan or Marie Kondo or Gordon Ramsay.
The British have hoodwinked everyone into thinking that,
Simon Cowell, that they're
smarter.
I mean, fuck off with that.
I know.
Unbelievable.
Although it's really only certain British accents. Because,
yeah.
Like, did you see Christian Bale at the Golden Globes?
What did he do?
Oh, he took his real accent,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's got that little...
He's a Cockney, and he's
yeah,
like,
he got
oh, this is fucking ridiculous, right? And I'm going to win a Golden Globe. And he sound, you know, he's like, what? So I was at a West Ham match the other day, and I was eating pork pie. You know, and
we're
going
like to talk about a Puerto Rican Cockney in a minute here.
Oh, God.
Not to tease, but yes. You don't know what I'm talking about, but we'll get into it. But back to Seiko's comedy career before we move on. So where are you taking comedy? You're back in comedy class with Bill Bouchard,
mm-hmm.
who people might know from the show. What are you doing with Bill now? What are you working on? What are we looking forward to?
Last time I did material called Washlet. It's a Japanese high-tech toilet by doing some physical
things. Ah, the toilet.
Things.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we have a really great toilet which speaks.
That's another thing that is very popular on Seiko's Facebook is the toilet.
Yeah.
All right.
I love it. Then now Bill expect me to kind of do more something advanced. So, you know, I'm looking for the making the material.
So
now, where would you get one of these toilets? Can I import one of these?
Right.
You can get it at Amazon.
Oh, Amazon will sell you a Japanese toilet.
In Tokyo, is there a plumbing district? Because I know there's like Akihabara
mm-hmm.
where all the
you can
buy all the tech
yeah.
stuff. Is there like a toilet neighborhood? Is there like a...
Is there a plumbing supply district?
Yes.
Well, if you go to the departmental store at Akihabara, you know,
they have
Best Buy, like a Best Buy
okay.
shop, so, you know,
now,
they have it.
Do the American...
Now, there's a giant store in Tokyo called Don Quixote.
Don Quixote, yeah.
Yes.
That is a, you know, junk store.
It's like a junk store.
Okay.
It's like a five-story junk store.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Where would you get this high-tech toilet? That's what I want to know.
Probably go to Akihabara, Yodobashi Camera discount store.
Okay.
Then you can get them.
But do they have the Japanese toilets in these American Japanese restaurants? Do they give you the Japanese toilet? Do they get the... you eat the Japanese food and then you shit it out in a Japanese way? Is that
a
thing that happens?
There's one place you can do that.
Okay, so where do we go to get
Izakaya Katsu. It's a brand new Japanese restaurant in Detroit. They have a Japanese food and
a
toilet together.
Japanese toilets.
Where is this place? Because you gave
that
a seal of approval.
Izakaya Katsu.
But just for the toilet.
Yeah.
Is the toilet now part of the review of the Japanese restaurant? Do you go in?
Yes, it was.
You go in and make sure that the toilet is...
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So I certified the toilet, too.
Now, tonkatsu is like pork.
Pork. Uh-huh.
It's like a fried pork chop.
Uh-huh.
And there's a specific sauce, which is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Tonkatsu sauce. It's kind of like a Japanese barbecue sauce. Now, katsu just means what? Chopped?
Tonkatsu means, maybe katsurets.
Cutlet. I'm learning some Japanese words here.
Right. What do the Japanese toilets do that is so special? We've got
to
get off this.
And
then we're going
to
move on to movies.
For example, my sister's mine, she has got the really brand new ones. And
she's got
with
the top one.
MP3 player. And you
MP3 player on your toilet.
Yeah, you can download the app. You can track how many times you poop and pee.
Oh.
And also the...
Does it know, do you have to log in? For example, if I pee... If Corey comes to my house and he pees in my toilet, how do they know it's Corey peeing and not me?
Because every time you bring it to your iPhone, via Bluetooth.
There's a Bluetooth connection between the toilet.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think you can track only on your poop only.
Only your poops. So your pees are not in there. Interesting. Do they, what other, now they are warm? They warm you as well?
Warm sheet. And also, the automatically lid open function.
Oh, the lid opens, okay.
Yeah, if you get closer.
Do they know it's a lady? Can you tell? You log in and say, I'm a lady, so we keep the seat down when I walk in?
I don't think gender distinguish function comes together.
Okay. What about the, does it clean your ass? Is that a thing?
Yeah,
it has a, what does it have?
Shower or
clean up your ass.
A bidet.
Uh-huh.
So it washes your ass. It plays your music. It raises the lid.
And also comes a dryer, too.
Oh, and it dries your ass.
Can you control the strength of the stream?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Ah.
And it's the like positions.
A,
and,
it's
you
like
know,
a high pressure.
And you can uh-huh, high pressure. You can, and also a massage function, too.
A massage. Uh-huh. Now you get an anal massage.
Cool. I think these would be very popular in gay bars.
Well, it's...
What do you think?
I mean, I
guess. I think we should start marketing this to gay bars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but then how many? I don't know.
But
maybe if you had two look, next to each other,
okay,
yeah.
You could have a couple's.
People don't get out with a restroom anymore.
Let's be honest. Shoving a fistful of cotton up your butthole is not the most efficient way. We should really. I am all for embracing this innovative technology.
But in America, when you have a bidet, my parents, when they go to Florida, the condominium has a bidet,
mm-hmm.
but it is a separate thing, meaning you shit in one toilet, and then you have to go over to the bidet. It's a separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it works here, if you even
Japan
have one.
Japan doesn't have a much land. So
you just have one machine for one everything. Machine. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Corey, this is amazing.
I'm fascinated.
I need to use one of these, but I feel like I'm gonna. But here's the problem with that. Even if I say I'll go to his restaurant, the one that he told me in Detroit that's got the toilet, that means I have to go there.
It's a Kayakatsu.
But I have to go there like either I need to go there needing to shit, or I need to go there and eat the meal and then somehow hang out until that makes me want to shit. So this sounds like a whole complicated thing.
Well, you can only... Okay, so let's say you're on a diet.
Yeah.
And you wanted to track the density and weight of your poop. Mm. You'd have to only come... You'd only have to take a deuce at home.
I suppose so. Yeah. I guess that would be a thing that you could only... But I just don't know how this works then, because I don't know how that... let's say I eat my Japanese meal, and then can I kill 2 hours in there? Do I drink sake for 2 hours? What do I do? Till I actually have
maybe,
to poop.
You know, you may want to get the bad sushi, then you get, you know, you have to go to a restaurant.
If you get
like
bad sushi,
sashimi,
I see. So.
Raw fish, so then, you know, you have to run to the, maybe, why don't you bring this seaweed snacks? Then
I would throw up, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what that works.
But
this is a diet food right here.
Yeah.
Because if you had to eat this every day,
mm-hmm.
you would not want to eat.
Yeah, you don't gain weight anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Seiko, I mean, do you have any more questions about Japan?
Well, I have many questions.
Well,
we'll bring Seiko back another time.
Well, we'll Seiko, but we're going to do some movie reviews, TV reviews. Is there anything you see on television or movies? Do you follow American culture that way?
Well, I try to watch the TV on a regular basis. But,
well, Corey is, of course, a film critic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went to film school. I don't know if you know that about me.
Yeah,
so I have to see all of the Oscar-nominated movies every year.
Mm.
And I'm in the middle of that. So we're seeing all those things. So, Corey, do you want to start here? I mean, what should we talk about first?
Well, Seiko just saw Shoplifters.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I've not seen that.
You were which is by...
And who played that, Seiko? Where do I see that?
Actually, only some certain places in Detroit. They
and you go over
that
there.
That was at the DFT.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
And that's Hirokazu Koreeda, who is an excellent director.
Interesting, yes.
He's made a lot of great movies.
I should tell the story before we get into this. I took Seiko to the opera.
Oh.
Yeah, tell that story. That was good, right?
Yeah.
Seiko likes all culture. That's the thing about Seiko.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we talk about movies and TV, it's going to be below him, Corey.
I couldn't believe you went to the opera.
Well, I had a reason to go to the opera because I was dating the girl that put the opera on.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
This girl, she ran an opera company, and she was, while she's a singer, she was not in the play itself. She was the director. And I needed a date, so I said, Seiko likes opera. He'll go to see opera with me.
So we had the date.
So we had a date. We went and saw opera. Now, Seiko explained to me it was chamber opera,
mm-hmm.
meaning it was done in it was not done in a theater. It was done in a space. This was at the Scarab Club in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And Seiko, I'll tell you, you can tell me if I'm wrong. Seiko liked all the girls in the opera, didn't you, Seiko?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, there were some cute girls in there. And here's the problem. Here's where Seiko fucked up, Corey. Afterwards, there was a cast party for the opera, and I invited Seiko to go. So we're going down to this bar in Midtown, and there's going to be this cast party. All the opera girls were drunk. They're having a great time. Everyone's loaded, eating
and
food.
He blocked
and
it.
He bailed. He didn't go.
What?
You would have had all those cute opera girls hanging
out. Yeah, I had
with
some previous commitment.
He had a previous commitment.
Meanwhile,
unbelievable.
It wasn't over for Joel until the fat lady sang.
Well, hey, listen, don't make jokes like that. Come on, that's not nice. She was. I'm not with her anymore, but we had a good time. Yeah. She's a great singer. Her opera was great. Yeah. She had a good, I didn't understand what the hell was happening. I don't know how well you did with the,
You know, of all the weird relationships you've had over the years, that one baffles me the most.
The opera singer?
I don't see it.
Well, she was an artist.
You were like, look, let me show you, let me tell you about wrestling. All right, let me.
She liked to say, she liked.
No, I'm just saying, you're sometimes, those interests don't seem to have overlapped, but what do you know?
Well, I don't think we ever went to wrestling or anything, but she liked.
Springsteen?
No, I didn't like Springsteen. Yeah. She liked.
I'm not seeing this match.
She liked some of the television shows.
Well, maybe
she liked. She had never seen Vice Principals, and I showed her that, and she liked that.
Oh.
And she liked Nathan.
Have
for you
seen Vice Principals,
which you should watch on Hulu because all of them are on there? Have you seen Nathan for You?
I've seen some. Yeah,
yeah, they're all on Hulu. You should watch those.
You're a bigger fan of that show than I am. But yeah.
I am. But it's a great show. All right, but this Shoplifters, is this one of the best movies of the year, Corey? Did you see it?
I haven't seen it, and that's
But
I've seen the guy's other films.
Yeah,
I know he's
good.
A great director.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it was a really great movie. The Japanese family, which making a life living by stealing the product.
Okay.
The stores, you know.
Hence shoplifting?
Yeah. And also, in the beginning, I noticed that that's how they speak Japanese each other. It sounded really weird to me.
Okay, why is that?
Sounded like they are acquaintances, the people who know just
acquaintances.
You
know,
acquaintances, okay.
Yeah, not like family. Then, you know, as the story developed, then you will find the reason.
Oh, okay. So there's a plot reason for that.
Right.
Well, because in Japanese, you have formal...
Yeah, formal and informal
ways. Informal ways.
Interesting.
Speaking.
But,
okay.
You know, they kept the distance each other.
Hmm.
Informal.
Okay.
A little bit formal.
Well, I really want to see that. It's probably going to be nominated for Best Foreign Film.
I think it will be nominated for that.
If you have a chance, you should watch it.
Five or six years ago, he had a film called Nobody Knows.
Okay.
Which was about a mother that abandoned her kids in a Tokyo apartment.
Okay.
And they just kind of like eventually they turn the lights off, like the power.
Mm.
And these kids are still in this apartment and they're just like feral and stealing stuff off the street. And he's a really great director. That's a really beautiful movie.
Well, I've not seen that, but
so I went to see Shoplifters.
Well, we did see, me and Corey both saw a foreign film which is going to be nominated for something at the Oscars, although should it even be, and this is on Netflix. It's called Roma. And Corey and I both saw that. This recently won, I believe, the Critics Choice Award for Best Motion Picture of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us what you thought of Roma, Corey.
Hated it.
Yeah.
It's a beautifully made movie. Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah.
Who is part of a little wave of Mexican directors.
Yeah.
I tend to prefer Guillermo del Toro. But it's a beautifully made movie, but none of the scenes build.
Yeah.
Really, they feel like vignettes between one scene to the next. They don't really flow very well, and it's really just a parade of misery.
Well, it's funny. This movie is 2 hours and 15 minutes long, and I swear to God, after about 45 minutes, you go, this is a movie that is largely about dog shit. And I'm not – I know that sounds like I'm just – like, literally, the drama seems to be about will the maid be able to keep up with the dog shit in the family – and it's completely weird. Now, here's what I will say about it.
The central character is passive.
Yes.
Everything that happens to her,
right.
Horrible things happen to her.
Yes, yes, yes.
She just sort of responds to it.
She is a maid in this Mexican family. And, of course, the husband and wife are not getting along. And the children they're keeping the marital problems from the children. This maid is witness to all of these things. And then later things happen. Now, my feeling is that one of the ways that this movie is trying to work is it needs to be very boring for the first almost 90 minutes of this, because when the things finally happen in this movie, of which there's three big events, it's supposed to like jar you and hit you emotionally in a way. And I think it was effective at that. But at the same time, you bored me for 90 minutes. You know,
George Lucas famously said it's easy to get an emotional response out of an audience.
Yeah.
Strangle a puppy.
Okay, yeah.
This is a puppy strangling movie.
Well, yeah.
It's got a scene that's really... I'm not going to
say
anything
about it. Yeah, let's not ruin it, even though...
There's a really horribly graphic and horribly painful scene that I just... I'm like, I don't want to see it.
So, yeah, I mean, look...
Not that I can't deal with the complex themes, and I'm a film critic for
example. Yeah.
But sometimes I hate movies like this.
Yeah.
Because lingering in misery is cheap and easy.
Right.
I hate Lars von Trier.
Yeah.
For the same reason.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
So,
I mean, this felt almost Swedish in its suffering.
Yes,
doesn't it?
Big thumbs down.
Right, I mean, it felt like film school to me watching this. And
well,
look,
a lot of times Mexican films will have a Catholic element to them that people, I think Americans don't pick up on.
Yeah,
And Catholics love suffering as a as a part of a condition of their religion, and you know, it's the iconography of Jesus and
but
the
that's
thorns.
Not even in this.
No, I know, but there's a kind of a cultural attitude about suffering.
Yeah.
That Americans are like, suffer?
Well,
we have crackers filled with pepperoni flavor. This is, we don't have to suffer. We're Americans.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're fat and joyful largely, and then we elect, you know, a guy that wants to build walls.
Well,
but, you know.
Well, here's the other thing with this movie. It's black and white. It's in Spanish. Now, it is beautifully shot. I think he shot this on, like, Super 65, so ultra. Although, when you're watching it on Netflix, you're not watching it on a big, giant screen.
You would have to see this in a theater.
Yeah, it would be better in a theater.
The
although
shots are gorgeous.
There's no escaping it in a theater.
Right.
You know, when you're in a theater, you can't turn to your girlfriend and go, are you enjoying this at all, or should we turn it off? Which is what me and my girlfriend did. But we got through the whole thing.
I found it turgid and joyless.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wanted to like it. He made Gravity was his movie he made before this. Which was great. You see Gravity with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock?
Yes.
That's a great movie. Mm-hmm. This thing, I don't know. I skip it. I mean, I can't recommend it.
Mm.
It's. I know the critics are going crazy for it. I feel like some critics get into a mindset that, you know, this is this important Mexican director, and it's a personal story from him, and it involves a lot of suffering, and so it must be great. But I go, no one wants to watch this.
Yeah, I don't know. People,
yeah.
You can't
no
win.
Wants to watch
you can't
it.
Win. I thought Shape of Water was fantastic. It won
I
the
did
best
too.
Picture.
Yeah, it did.
And then a lot of people win. Is that the one where the lady fucks the fish?
And she
so
does.
You can't, I know.
She
but
does
you
fuck
can't
the fish.
Win.
Yeah.
You can't win.
Yeah.
You know what? She would be turned on by these shrimp crackers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The shrimp
those
cookies
away
would get
from her.
Sally Hawkins all fired up.
All right. Well, then let's talk about some other things. We talked about this the other day, or in the last show that you were here, that maybe we didn't. I don't know if we did. We talked about On the Basis of Sex. I think you just said, hey, this is a, yeah, I mean, it's about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's kind of a snoozy biopic
terrific,
about her.
It's a terrific person.
Yes.
And a very standard issue, boring biopic.
Yeah, it's a very boring pile. I think the you know, it talks about one of the cases. Now, apparently the case that she is shown... I have to look it up, but I don't know if the case that she is shown in this film was actually a real case. Because in the documentary, I had the Ruth Bader Ginsburg double feature this past week, Corey. I spent two nights in a row watching On the Basis of Sex at the theater, and then we watched the RBG documentary about Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Hulu, where you can see that. But I don't believe that I mean, that case was never mentioned in the documentary, so I don't know if it was true or not. But basically, she dealt with... you know, in order to give women's rights, that there were laws that only protected married women, that did not extend to men who were in charge of the household. And so that was one of the cases that is tried in the feature film. And, you know, I thought the acting was great. I thought that, you know, you knew exactly where this thing was going. You were waiting for the big court case where she would, you know, overcome and testify and overcome the biases of the male lawyers. You get that, but it took too long to get to it. And while I'm recommending it, I think you could stay at home and rent this thing. No need to run out and
well,
see
they
this.
Spent a lot of time on the case.
They did, yeah.
The legal stuff is interesting if you're interested in legal aspects, but it was just a very predictable, numbers, all the beats in it.
It was not a great courtroom thriller either. It's kind of what you were hoping it might turn into.
And Stephen Root is in there.
Yeah, great acting. The acting's
Sam
really
Anderson
good.
Is
Armie Hammer.
Really, kind of the first part of it when she's at Harvard is the most interesting part.
Yeah.
Where the dean actually, there's nine women in the Harvard Law School.
Yeah.
And he says, now explain to me why you're taking a seat from a man. Like, I mean, unbelievable things that happen.
Yeah, there's some stuff in here that
in
is...
In the 50s.
And apparently it was all true, you know, based upon seeing the documentary. About
I think the documentary, if you really want to learn about her, watch the documentary.
Yeah, I think
it's
so,
better way to go.
And usually that's the case with these anyway.
Pretty much.
Is the documentary is better than the Hollywood version of it.
If you're doing a biopic, you have to do something different with it, which is what they did with Vice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Vice was very innovative in its storytelling and made a guy who's boring interesting.
Yeah.
Or at least a guy who's not even likable. You learned his motivations and his story. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who everybody loves, it was a boring tale.
Felicity Jones as Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, when you see the documentary, you do see that young Ruth Bader Ginsburg was an attractive woman. Yeah. I mean, you can make your jokes about her in her state, but...
I mean, come on. That's daughter of Abraham and Sarah. That's for me.
A young Jewish girl. Very attractive to you.
Bring them to me now.
But do you feel that Felicity Jones was too attractive to play her, or do you think that...
Well, Armie Hammer is her husband.
That one, when you see the documentary, you see that they did him quite a favor.
Well, but young Marty Ginsburg was kind of handsome, too.
Okay.
I don't know, whatever. Every movie about somebody, they get a better-looking guy. Who would be cast as Seiko?
Ooh, who could play Seiko? Interesting. I don't know any young. Well, what about what's the guy? John Cho? I know he's not Japanese, Korean. But you can get away with that.
He's Korean.
We put Seiko in Crazy Rich Asians
Ken
too.
Ken Watanabe too.
Can we do that? Ken Jeong is.
Oh, good
Seiko.
God,
Ken Jeong. Yeah, I like him.
Let's not.
Corey thinks you're funnier than Ken Jeong.
I'm way funnier.
So Corey's not a fan of Ken Jeong.
Oh, really?
No,
I think Nagasaki is funnier than Ken
Jeong. Oh, come on now. I like Ken Jeong sometimes.
The worst.
I mean, you know, look, Ken Jeong does not pick the best projects.
You put Ken Jeong and Rob Riggle together. Let me tell you, there's a comedy explosion. Kind of like potassium and chloride.
Yes.
Oh.
You know, I was working
What is it with, what blows up with potassium?
Potassium and oxygen. Yeah. Potassium and water will explode.
I'm forgetting my high school chemistry.
Yes, sodium will explode as water as well. All right, but anyway, if you have to see one, go with the documentary. They're saying the documentary is Oscar shortlisted, so that may be nominated. I don't know if on the basis of sex is going to get any love from the Academy. Who knows?
Nah.
I think you can probably skip that. But the documentary was nice.
It's pretty skippable. Documentary is better.
My girlfriend was like, why does everybody love Ruth Bader Ginsburg? And they go into I thought the most interesting part of the movie was maybe the cult of RBG and why, like, she became a meme and stuff on the internet. So that was interesting. I don't know. Does the American government and the courts and all that, does that make any sense to you at all, Seiko?
No, really.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
honestly, no.
No, I mean, it does. I studied government in college before I got a film degree.
But Japan's had, 15 prime ministers in 10 years or something?
Right? I asked him.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but,
right?
Right now we have a stable prime minister.
Okay. Japan's politics are wacky as well. I mean, we elected Donald Trump, but you guys have elected all kinds of people to the Senate, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys, singers and comedians and
sometimes professional
wrestlers are in the Senate. Antonio Inoki was in the Senate.
Antonio Inoki was governor.
He was cooking.
What about the from Michinoku Pro?
Great Sasuke.
Great Sasuke. Yeah.
Great Sasuke too. Yeah.
Great Sasuke was in there, and I believe Atsushi Onita.
First of all, Jesse Ventura was a governor of a state.
Yeah.
We've had Cooter from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Sure.
Was a representative.
Yeah.
Gopher from Love Boat. I mean, we've had some stellar members of our Congress.
Yeah, we've had some real idiots that have run for our office. So I don't know that that's any different.
Why doesn't Dustin Diamond should run for office?
He probably should. Yeah. But he's not.
Screech could get in there.
All right. Well, let's keep on the movie thing here with... I saw a movie. Now, this may actually get an Oscar nominated too, but my girlfriend wanted to see it. She wanted to see Mary Poppins Returns.
No, oh, God.
So I went to that thing.
Here's what happened from my wife's birthday.
Yeah.
My wife's birthday falls right after Christmas, unfortunately. And, but I said, why don't you, for your birthday, take your sister and your mom and your niece and go see Mary Poppins?
Because you didn't want to go.
And then I went with my brother-in-law and my father-in-law and went to the Michigan game.
Oh, okay.
So
well, there you go.
we were like, y'all go see Mary Poppins. Okay. We're going to watch
and
basketball.
They went, and
that was a good plan.
Here
so
was
I
my,
skipped it.
Here was my problem going to Mary Poppins Returns. My girlfriend goes, I want to go. All right, well, it looks like it got Golden Globe nominations. Maybe you'll get an Oscar nomination. I had never seen original Mary Poppins. So now I got to watch original Mary Poppins to watch the new one. Because one of her friends said, yeah, you won't understand Mary Poppins unless you see the original. Did you ever see original Mary Poppins from 1964? Seiko, Judy, okay, so Seiko's never seen.
Well, that's
it was before I was born.
Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah. So I got to watch this. Now, look, I get why people
like... Hey, I've seen The Seven Samurai, and that was long before
exactly.
I was born.
Exactly, that's true, Seiko. But we watched the original Mary Poppins, and it was fine. I get why people like it. A lot of the practical effects where Mary Poppins could move things around the room look very dated. You can kind of tell how they were done. The best sequence in that movie is when they go into an animated film and they're interacting with animals and things. The music is memorable, supercalifragilistic. You probably know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even you. You hadn't seen the movie. So I thought Mary Poppins was fine. You know, Dick Van Dyke. Now, here's the critique of Dick Van Dyke. That he had the worst English accent of, like, any guy ever in any motion picture. Because they got this American guy to play this Cockney chimney sweep in Mary Poppins. So then for the new one, now the new one is about the kids. So there's two kids in Mary Poppins.
I'm a Cockney.
Yeah.
Terrible.
So there's two kids who, so the sequel is these kids have grown up. The original Mary Poppins, they beg their parents to get Mary Poppins to be their nanny. The kids grow up. The parents are dead. They're going to lose their house. So they need the magic intervention of Mary Poppins. So Mary Poppins returns. This one guy, the boy, has grown up to have his own children. But, of course, like all good things Disney, the mother died, Seiko. That's every Disney movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
The parents have to die. So there's a dead mother. The sister, as the mom in the previous movie, was marching for women's rights. She is now a labor protester. So they basically transposed the father-mother roles onto the brother-sister. Mary Poppins comes back.
I'm bored already.
I know. But then, and so for the English, the Cockney London laborer, you know, because Dick Van Dyke couldn't come back.
They got, he was born within earshot of Bow Bells.
Right. Lin-Manuel Miranda, yes. The guy who made Hamilton, uh-huh. Who's Puerto Rican, does... I'm going to say a worse Cockney accent than Dick Van Dyke.
I think he is to Cockney as Mickey Rooney was to Japanese.
Well,
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
There you go. You ever see Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Yeah, I haven't seen it in
Japan.
Oh,
my God. That was horrible. But listen, so this... now, look, Lin-Manuel Miranda can sing. He can dance. He does all that fine. This whole fucking thing. Meryl Streep does a scene in this movie. Mm-hmm. They took a Xerox machine. They whited out the names and the locations on the original Mary Poppins script and just inserted the new names with whiteout. There was a scene where it was, what's the guy's name? I can't remember his name. The old American character actor with the big no. Who was the guy who had the weird Ed? Oh, I have to look it up. But anyway.
Ed Begley?
No, not Ed Begley. Before, anyway.
Ed Wynn.
Ed Wynn has this kind of memorable scene where he's a shopkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here they get Meryl Streep to kind of do the same scene, and it's horrible. It's the worst scene in the movie. They get Meryl Streep in some ridiculous outfit. It doesn't work. Everybody else is fine. Emily Blunt does a pretty good job being Mary Poppins. I thought that was fine. There's some neat effects. The songs were okay. They weren't as memorable as the original movie. I wouldn't ruin it if it wasn't in every trailer and all over the Golden Globes, but Dick Van Dyke does return, and he does dance, although they put his head on a different guy's body.
I'll tell you what. I didn't see the movie. I saw the trailer. I cried.
Yeah.
A little. I saw Dick Van Dyke, and a little water just dripped right from my eye.
And, you know, Colin Firth is the nasty banker, of course, because every movie
he's Irish.
A villain. Well, he's playing English.
Could he do a Cockney?
Well, he was a banker. He had an uppity.
It's really funny though. Like when Christian Bale won the Golden Globe, you heard his real accent.
Yeah.
And when Colin Farrell talks in his real accent, he sounds like this. You know.
Yeah.
He's very Irish, and I was almost undecided, but can't understand what he's fucking saying. He's like, "Fair, listen to her now." So it's really hard to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
This guy plays the son. I forget what is
Ben Whishaw.
He's been in everything, right, Corey?
Sure. Yeah. Good for him.
He's Q in James Bond. But anyway,
sure.
Look, if you liked Mary Poppins, it's more of that. You know, here's my four word review. It's the same shit.
Good talk.
If you want the same shit, go see Mary Poppins Returns. What do you think, Seiko? You gonna go?
Yeah, I would go.
Nothing I can do to dissuade Seiko. Seiko loves the arts. This is some dumb shit, Seiko. You going? Yeah, it's great. All right. So that was, saw that one. And then everyone's been talking this week, Seiko. You tell me what you know about this. There's two documentaries. This is a big scandal, Corey, because, you know, there is a war amongst the streaming services. Do you subscribe to any of these?
Mm-mm.
You don't have Netflix or anything, any of that stuff?
I do.
Okay. Well, there's a war between Hulu and Netflix. And it is competition for your dollar. So Netflix says, we've got this documentary about the Fyre Festival. This was a music festival that was supposed to take place 2 years ago now. And it was sort of a scam. The guy putting it together was not on board, was not above
board.
Well,
it's really...
And it involves a lot of social media influencers who got involved in this thing. And it was a complete disaster. Ooh. Everyone flew down to the Bahamas, and they had no facilities for anybody. And it was an embarrassment, but it was also a fraud. It was, you know.
So this guy, Billy McFarlane.
Billy McFarlane is the guy who was the head of this
now,
Fyre Festival.
He had this company called Magnesis.
Yes.
That was, like, doing real estate stuff. And
well, it was a club and, credit card. Meaning right. You paid an annual fee, and you got perks.
And then he had a ticket business.
Yes.
And the ticket business would be like he would buy tickets for a Knicks game and then sell those and then buy tickets for,
well,
like other stuff. And he was buying stuff for like the Met Gala, which you can't even buy tickets to.
Yes.
And then.
Well, he was telling people he didn't even have the tickets. And that's actually right. How a lot of ticket scams work anyway. Not even scams, but legitimate, like. You say, I want these tickets, and you give somebody money, then they go out and find the tickets with the money you gave them. That's sort of what it was. But anyway, go ahead, Corey. You're doing a good job.
No, he would do like, you know, yeah, he'd sell 200 tickets to Hamilton.
Yeah.
And people said, there's not even 200 tickets free. And he'd go scrounge around
right.
And scalp them.
And if he couldn't get them, he'd cancel.
And yeah. Right. And he'd buy them off, you know, StubHub and whatever. And literally would hand people the tickets on their way into the theater. And like, it was just a very shady fly-by-night thing. So to promote his little shitty ticket business, he said, let's have a festival.
Yes.
And the big name talent he brought in for this festival was Ja Rule.
Well, he was one of the organizers, yes.
Now, this would be like if I said, we're going to have a major league exclusive comedy festival.
Oh, okay. Who should we get?
Ron Rigby and Ted Moss.
Oh, okay.
Our big names.
Yeah.
We'll bring them in.
Oh, we have Seiko there. No?
But yeah, well, Seiko, would, of course.
I hope we can get Seiko.
A-list, baby.
All right?
Nothing but A-list. All right?
I hope we get Seiko. And
JD the Smile Hustler. I will spare no expense.
I want to put. I want to have Seiko opening up for Bill Hildebrandt. That's my dream.
Oh, yeah.
How many tickets can I sell for that? Will the millennial influencers buy those tickets, Corey?
I love that last week on this show, we were talking about Byron McGregor and like AM radio hits of
the early
70s. We were
talking about, yes.
And this week we're talking about God knows what and eating seaweed crackers.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah. Of the two, I think the...
Hulu. So Netflix says we've got this documentary. It's coming out at the end of the week. Oh. Hulu says, oh, by the way, they surprise everybody on Monday and put up their own documentary,
right.
which is called Fyre Fraud.
It happens in Hollywood all the time.
It does.
Where a project will get greenlit.
Yeah.
And then somebody will go, wait a second. Do we have a thing about mutant sharks that shoot lasers out of their buttholes? No.
Yeah.
So let's get one in the pipeline. And so you suddenly be like, why are there all these like movies about?
Right. Well, there were two volcano movies.
Sure. Why are there dogs that play hockey this year? Why is that popular? So you'll see there'll be multiple of the same thing.
Yeah.
Will come out.
Well, there's a bunch of zombie things that come out at the same
time.
Zombie
stuff. Right. Yeah. They'll always, I should do an article on the copycat.
Sure.
And then which one comes out first? tends to be the one that wins the battle.
And sometimes, sometimes the one that comes out first isn't even the one that was.
Or there's a much,
the original.
There's a cheaper version of a project. You know what I mean?
Well, there were two James Bond movies in the same summer back in the 80s.
Right, because they
got the rights to
right.
Diamonds Are Forever.
The one with Sean Connery.
Yeah,
and
anyway. Sean Connery. So yeah, it happens.
So they put two Fyre Festival, and of yeah. course the festival. They were like, we're gonna get it. We're gonna go down to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And we're going to be on an island that Pablo Escobar...
A private island.
What kind of a douche wants to go to Pablo Escobar's island? Like, right? That's like...
Seiko, for one, but aside from him...
Well,
if you were going to go to a private island, why would you
not
want
Seiko
there? Absolutely.
Well, particularly if I've got supermodels.
Oh, yeah. Well, supermodels.
Because I'm going to let this loose.
Let him run roughshod over all the Hadids.
I'm going to let this little this little bonsai attacker over here go wild on some Bar Raffaelli.
I mean, the Kardashians would murder each other to get a hold of.
Who could resist this power-packed sexuality right here?
I mean, imagine him on the beach in a sweater vest, Corey. I mean, could you imagine? Look at him.
I could see it now.
Look at this guy.
Yeah.
But listen, I mean, Ja Rule and Seiko would get along great. Are you kidding me?
Okay, the other thing is, Ja Rule.
Yes.
Why is that a thing?
Because people... And look, he's had a lot of hits. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fan of hip-hop.
Was Nate G not available?
Well,
was there,
I think...
I mean, was there some other irrelevant...
Well, the thing that you're... I think Ja Rule was a guy who was saying, I'm going to make this app where you can book talent like it's Tinder, where you put in an offer and you swipe and
what's with hip-hop guys having get-rich-quick techno schemes?
Soulja Boy seems to be the thing.
Soulja Boy's marketing these like bootleg Chinese consoles off Alibaba.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a big thing.
Guys trying to hustle.
Yeah. Young MC is selling bone broth supplements.
Well, it's,
I don't know what it is.
Well, the thing is, you know, so Dr. Dre did the headphone business with Beats.
Right.
And then, you know, 50 Cent had his own headphones. Nick Cannon was selling headphones. I mean, he'd sell headphones.
You can't just be a hip hop artist.
No, you got
to
have some business.
You have to be a mogul.
Hustle. Mogul,
you
got to
have a helicopter.
And if you're not a mogul, you got to look like a mogul. And that's really what the essence of Fyre was you're going to look like a celebrity. You're going to party like these people. Now I watched the Hulu one right away cuz it was on Monday. And I was like, well, I'll watch this thing. Why not? And I'll probably watch that Netflix one, too, if it's any. Because part of the thing about this thing is the Hulu, the Fyre Festival disaster is a compelling story. And I think if you tell that story in any kind of good way, that your movie should be pretty good. And I thought both movies were really good. I will tell you, if you're going to watch one or the other or both, I would say start with the Hulu one. Because to me, the Hulu one was more of the outsider's perspective more. I mean, they did have a couple of insiders who were really some of the best parts of that movie because they were really putting down they were talking about what a scam it was. Whereas the one that was on Netflix had all the behind-the-scenes footage, which was really interesting because you could see that even as they were shooting with
Ja Rule hanging out with Sports Illustrated models.
But you also saw like there was a scene where Ja Rule's telling the girl, you got to get in the water. It's for the movie. It's like, I ain't getting in the fucking water.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you could see that the artifice even of that piece of film and how that was the thing that sold all these tickets. And you see how fake it was. So I think I can recommend both documentaries. I think it's a compelling story.
Both of them have things to recommend. Well, although I will say I agree that Hulu tells the story more efficiently.
I think so, yeah.
It tells the story more. I think you get better detail.
I think so,
You get better background on Billy McFarland and all his scams.
And
they have... Okay, now here's the controversy.
Yeah.
Hulu has Billy McFarland in the movie.
Yes, they paid him for an interview.
And they paid him for an interview. So people are like, how dare... And I'm like, why is this guy even talking?
Yeah.
But they apparently paid him.
Well...
And it also keeps his name out there.
But part of the...
For when he gets out of jail.
I think the only problem with that is that he ultimately doesn't say anything. So even if you don't have him in the movie, the Netflix documentary has all of Billy McFarland talking behind the scenes, which is way more indicting than his interview given a year after the fact.
It's a lot of... They ask him pointed questions, and he goes, well...
He
kind of
evades everything.
And you just can see him evading things.
There was also some factual points that I noticed. Like, there was one about The Netflix guy seemed to, those insider guys seemed to give this interview of like, well, we were really doing this thing. You know, this festival was actually going to happen. We were trying to make it happen. Where the Hulu, those guys seemed to go like, this thing was a scam from the get-go. This is a get-rich-quick scheme.
Well,
and it was never going to happen.
And they pointed out in the Hulu documentary, so you order, depending on the order of which you watch these, will change your opinion. In the Hulu one, they point out that the guys from, there's a meme studio.
Yes.
That's called Fuck Jerry.
Yeah.
Or Jerry Media.
It's a social media company.
If they're trying to sell themselves, they're Jerry Media.
Yeah.
Anyway, they create memes. This is a thing you can do.
Yeah, you can make money doing this, Seiko.
Mm. Yes, you should start making
memes. Now, you can either make memes or you could review Japanese restaurants on Facebook.
I think...
You figure out which one's going to get you richer.
I'm saying we make a YouTube channel where you review... Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You review high-tech toilets.
Yes, we'll get on that.
I think that will be... It just...
Yeah, bring with me to a millionaire.
That's right.
But...
But
Jerry Media guys...
They're in the Netflix one.
Yeah.
And I think I smelled too much covering. There was too much spin in the Netflix one.
They were trying to make it out
they were trying to shine themselves
up. If it wasn't for Billy McFarlane, this thing would have been this great thing. They also say, factually, in the Netflix one that, well, the thing got sold out. And what you find out in the Hulu one now, I don't know which was true, but basically they said, what happened was they put the general admission tickets on sale. When they needed more money, they said general admission is sold out, and we have to sell you these VIP packages that were tens of thousands of dollars because they were trying to raise the money more quickly. So depending upon who you want to listen to.
It's a whole cluster. I wouldn't have cared about this festival. I remember when it happened and everybody was talking about
it.
But it's ultimately trust fund kids who were inconvenienced for a couple days.
Yeah, well, nobody died from this,
So, but it is an interesting, if you want to compare the two documentaries, that's an interesting little project. Yeah. If you only have to watch one, I'd say go with Hulu, but,
I think they're both good. One thing I will tell you from my personal experience, as a guy who produces a music festival and I'm not the leader of it, but from the gathering, I've heard those conversations about where do we get food for all these people? Oh, we need toilets or we have roads that don't work. And that's the thing is Gathering of the Juggle, by the way. How good would two rival documentaries be about the Gathering of the Juggalos?
Ooh.
Actually, there was one that ICP took part in, which was actually very good. But,
I'd like to see one from outside, but they wouldn't.
You can find stuff on the web where people come and cover it, but, and there's been a million articles. But, a lot of those things do come up and they're real concerns. And you see, especially on the Netflix one, those people who actually produce music festivals going, you guys are fucking idiots. What were you guys even, there's no way you can put this thing together in 4 months. So, I think we like both of them. So either way, you're good. It's an interesting story.
Well, there you go.
It's very much this decade's thing, isn't it? Influencers, social media, Instagram, music festivals, all that dumb shit is in there.
I was going to crotch punch the next idiot that called themselves an influencer. Though.
Seiko
is a
huge
influencer.
Listen,
if you want to know about Japanese cuisine in the Detroit
metro, he's the top guy.
You got to come through Seiko.
I think Seiko is the top guy, and I think Seiko should. Now, look, is the audience for Japanese restaurants and toilets? How big is that audience? I don't know.
It's popular.
You think it's popular enough?
I think
it would be.
Yes. Huh. I think the road to glory runs right through Seiko's esophagus.
You think so?
So I think you need to follow this man.
Well,
are you on Twitter, on Instagram? Where are you?
Just Facebook.
Just Facebook. Hmm.
You got to branch out, man. You got to make a Twitter.
I don't know. How do we get Seiko?
You got to get the seal of approval.
But how do we make, what would Seiko's?
We should make you a YouTube channel.
Yeah, but then we gotta go film him at the Japanese restaurant.
It's okay.
I'm not really a film guy, though. I can't produce a high quality, because the problem with YouTube is it's such high quality now.
First of all, all the Japanese have cameras?
Do you have a camera?
Just only an iPhone.
iPhone camera. Okay, there you go.
I think Seiko is actually I think your name is actually Herb Melman, and this is an elaborate character that you're doing. Are you even Japanese?
I think that's. I don't think there's any question about that. Well, listen, I would
100% certified.
Well.
Look at the man. The man ate shrimp cookies.
Yes.
And didn't blink.
Corey, don't worry. I'm just challenging the ancestry.com right now. I'm looking at my DNA. So
yeah.
I think I can prove it. So.
I think there's no doubt.
You spit in the tube and you're getting your.
Well, what? Now let me ask just to wrap up here. Do you actually like all of those snacks, or did you buy one of those just because you knew they were gross?
I knew that you're going to hate the seaweed and shrimp, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
But my favorite is the rice cracker.
Okay, the rice cracker. Do you like the shrimp cookies?
No.
Okay. That's what I'm getting at here. But in Japan, they love those, or are those
still
like...
Yeah, some people
like,
really like it.
But are those, like, popular? Like, would you go, like...
Shrimp flavor is very popular.
The shrimp cookie is popular.
And also, everything is... If you go to Japan right now, you know, green tea flavor.
If I go to 7-Eleven, I can get all of these.
Oh, yeah.
Ay-yay-yay. I did learn that about Japan. Did you know that? The most 7-Elevens in the world are in the country of Japan.
Yeah.
More than the United States.
And there's another chain called Lawson.
Okay, yeah. I've heard of Lawson.
And you can get, like, sandwiches and
Lawson.
Rice bowl.
You know what? Lawson sells tickets to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
They are the official ticket outlet, so you can go get your tickets to the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, sometimes you need Lawson rather than bank, you know, ATM.
You need Lawson,
it's much more useful than bank.
All right. Well, listen, I've learned a lot, Corey.
I have. This has been a growing experience. I mean, everything I know about Japan, I learned from watching Kaida. Sweet Chi-on. 1, 2, 3. All right. I sing all the songs.
Well, Seiko, anything anyone should know about you? Now you're in the class, so people can come see you do comedy. Coming up here, when is that going to be?
Yeah, February 12th at Makuridori.
February 12th.
Yeah.
That's a Tuesday night.
Oh, that's the graduation show?
Yeah.
So you can go see Seiko do some stand-up.
From 7:30 p.m.
Yeah.
You need to start an Instagram with all your soups and certifications.
Oh, okay.
He could review these snacks. Oh. He could review the restaurants.
No, I think people would
He
like
could
it.
Review the toilets. He could talk about anything.
Your seal of approval... Is
but
vital.
You, but you know what was funny today when you gave him a toffee fae?
He didn't like it.
And he didn't like that. I mean, we could do all
you
of those
can
things.
Review. We should take
right.
a
right.
Well, yeah, this is very super sweet. Kind of a...
Let's take Seiko to a Polish restaurant.
Well, we could do that too. I don't know.
Well, a lot of potato, sausage, sauerkraut.
Yeah, yeah.
At some point, we just end up taking Seiko to the strip club and then forget about it.
Seiko reviews strip clubs. I think we're on to something.
Maybe American girl's body.
Yeah.
There's another business that needs
No.
Japanese toilets.
First of all,
what?
We take Seiko down to 6 Mile.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we take him down to the La Chambre. We don't take him to the nice American strip club. We take him right to the hood.
Oh, God.
Yeah, how's that sound?
I think you should bring him
you
over.
You want to go to the Black Orchid?
Well, that's the reality scares me.
I'm not a big fan of that either.
I'm not saying we got
to
go.
You should be a big... Oh, I know some guys, some comics, that'll take you to La Chambre. We should take you to Mike Bonner's show. I think you'd be a big fan of that.
You never saw Uptown Friday Night?
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. Oh, you mean the radio show?
Yeah. Either one. I'm booking him. Oh, call Bonner right now.
He could go to Uptown Friday. You go to the radio show's late, though. Seiko has a day job.
Tell Bonner, let's call Mike and get him Seiko booked.
Oh, on the black
Friday
radio
night.
Show? On Uptown Friday. Friday Night.
Yeah. How do you think you'd work with a black audience?
This is an all-black comedy club. How would you fare there?
No, I would try.
You would try. Yeah. You try. Okay.
All right. I think that's a winner.
I think that's it. I want to talk about what is your day job roughly? What do you do here?
I do accounting.
Do accounting, but it's a Japanese company.
Yep.
Interesting. In Japanese company.
Spy.
Do you guys?
What I mean,
when in the office is Japanese spoken or English?
Both.
Interesting. Yeah. Are there American people working at your company?
Yeah, 50%.
50% American. Interesting.
Mm.
I don't know.
All right.
It's a lot going on. I think we've just scratched the surface with Seiko.
I think there's a lot more More layers.
I think there's more to
come. It's like a complex broth.
All right.
There's a dicey, it's like a dicey broth. There's a lot of
there's
flavors.
Green, there's green tea and shrimp and seaweed.
Yes.
And everything.
It's all combined.
All combined. Yes. All right. Well, Seiko, thank you very much for coming out. I hope you had a good time here today.
Yeah, thank you very much
thank
for
you
having
for
me.
Having
oh, it's been our pleasure. Thank you, Seiko.
It is.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Domo arigato.
Hey, so desne. We're going to get out of here.
Well, and we still have a seaweed, so would you like to have some?
No, I would not like to have that. I would like to...
Let's close on a high note. I have a little bite left.
What do you have?
I'm gonna, of that seaweed.
Oh, my God.
It was rough.
I mean, I could eat another Kit Kat if
really
I wasn't...
The texture is really brutal.
Well, it's like this chewy, I mean, it's pickled seaweed. Isn't that what it is, Corey, essentially?
Yeah. You know, if you ever wanted to have a pickle and the ocean in your mouth at the same
time...
Yeah,
I mean...
Oh, I'm sorry, gentlemen. I didn't read the instructions. This is supposed to eat with rice bowl together.
Oh, you put it in your rice.
Rice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
that's what's so salty.
I don't want to fuck up a bowl of rice.
My rice has chicken broth in it. It's the San Francisco treat. That's all I mean.
Oh my.
Yeah, you can't even speak. I'll just say goodbye.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was happy you came until I just had another
bite. Well, you wanted Japanese treats, and now you got them, and you
got them.
Yeah, this
is Japanese
treats.
Fuck Japanese treats. These American treats.
Yeah.
Those are the better ones. Raised on those. All right, Seiko, thank you so much for being here. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. Sayonara.
Bye.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ciao bella.